and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Yes, you are.
Indeed. And, who are you?
Help me out here.
Oh, yes. Hey, yo, he's faggot.
No, we're not editing that out.
No.
All right. I'm Mo. We are here talking a little wrestling.
Mo.
What the hell? I think, like I say, this week Addy has some topics and I have some more theoretical shit I'm going to throw past him without him having too much preparation. He's got a couple Twitter questions because we're starting a little bit later the recording because of horrible weather here in Canada, believe it or not.
Yeah, weird. Yeah. There was snow just to further that stereotype.
Yeah, but it's the... Well, stereotypes usually come partially because they're true.
That's true.
In this case, it is. But
that's why don't
you
hit
some of those topics you got there?
Yeah, well, first thing I wanted to touch base with, we watched...
Wait a second. What'd you call me again?
Huh?
What'd you call me?
Mo.
Oh, okay.
I just
good.
Put the word ho in front of it.
Ah, good. Yes. I thought I was talking to Michael Cole for a second there.
Hosky.
Anyways, then.
We watched the live Raw, and we did the show about it. At the end of Raw, just to sort of continue pick up on that, Wade Barrett, in a sling, hurt his shoulder, I guess. Looking at 4 to 6 weeks that he's going to be out. I'm guessing he's going to be trying to work his ass off to get back to Mania.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting because you talk about, like, I don't know what his spot would have been. You know, it is not. I mean, he was doing well, but I'm not sure they had a spot defined for him yet.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, maybe depending on how many people would be in that tag team match, because it doesn't look like there's going to be a Money in the Bank. Now, by the way, when we're talking about Money in the Bank winners, we forgot about Kane, who actually
yes.
won and then
and
cashed
that
it
night
in
against
the same
Rey
night.
Mysterio, didn't
yeah,
he?
Right.
Yes, that's right.
But yeah, I mean, because it doesn't look like a Money in the Bank, I'm guessing. We're looking 3, 4, 5 men. Who knows how big that Laurinaitis versus
yeah.
Long thing's going to be. He might have been in that,
mm-hmm.
you know. But even then, already you have 3 members of that team, and it's pretty easy to come up with another couple guys. Anyways, there's
right.
more heels, it seems like, who can fit that spot than baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, that's very true, because, I mean, yeah, you've got what? You say we've got 3 guys. We actually have 4 guys on that team. If you include David
Otunga,
which
yeah.
I think you do, right?
Yeah, they're obviously giving him a little mini push by letting him beat Ezekiel Jackson.
Yes, yes. But actually, that's where you notice from his absence of not talking, B not here today. He's actually out beating Ezekiel Jackson right now.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
That doesn't make me. That yeah, yeah. I'm gonna leave the obvious joke. Aside there, because I don't want to go there.
You don't want to go there.
No.
Go where?
Down there.
Down where?
But,
oh.
In this case, but yeah, I mean, so you got 4 members of that team. I mean, yeah, I mean, that was probably where Barrett would have been.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe they drop it and make it a 4-man when they're going to make it a 5-man and somebody gets screwed out of a spot. I don't know, because I'm having trouble filling babyface spots in that match anyways. I'm going
that's right.
probably Santino, maybe Orton, maybe Kali. I don't know if Array can come back. It's tough already, right?
Foley.
Like, it already feels like we're stretching.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Well, he is.
Foley hasn't been stretching, no.
It will
or be. Exercising.
Well,
his
stomach
band.
Has been stretching.
Yeah,
yes.
It sure as hell has been, yeah. Yeah, I mean, jogging shorts. You do
doing,
reason, you do them for a reason.
Doing YRG now.
Get the hell out of here.
Apparently, yes. Mick
he's
Foley
doing,
is...
You mean DDP yoga.
DDP yoga, I'm sorry,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So
that's good.
And even Paige, Mr. Captain Optimism, says that, you know, he'll believe it when he does it more than twice. So...
you know what? Foley's not fat. He's that's a wheat belly.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But, that would be stretching it, I think. But, I mean, Rey Mysterio, I mean, if you're going to do a deal where, you know, he's almost ready to come back and he could fit in an 8-man.
Same thing with Barrett. That's an advantage for Barrett is you could probably hide him in a match like that a little bit because
mm-hmm.
it sucks for him to not get his Mania payday.
Right, yeah, because he has had a good year.
Since pretty much since the Barrett barrage, I think he started to regain some momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know... like
we
say,
saw on that SmackDown in Calgary. I don't know if the Barrett Barrage had started then.
It had, yeah.
Had
well,
it, yeah.
Actually, I think it was just starting then.
Yeah,
right, cause, yeah.
But that was then because he refused to fight that guy.
That's right, yeah.
So, but and then he, I think he then he fought a sober Bull Rotunda in a dark match.
Yeah, surprising.
Yes, weird.
Yes, that's right.
But,
that's right.
Well, we don't want to make too much fun of Bo. I don't want him calling back. So
no, absolutely. Troy Diamond.
Yes.
But, yeah, no, so, again, I kind of do think he probably, if for 4 to 6 weeks or 6 weeks out,
mm-hmm.
It's Mania, you'd maybe find a way to hide him. I imagine they'll do something to get him on the show, even if it's some sort of backstage promo or something to get him a little bit of money, but it'd be nice
right.
if he could be in a match. But, again, like I say, I mean, it's tough to define. I mean, I think when we're talking about the baby faces, we forgot about Truth and Kofi.
Well,
because we assume that they're going for the tag titles, but I have a theory on that.
Well, but then on the live SmackDown, they immediately lose to Dolph and Swagger.
And Swagger.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Dolph and Swagger, somebody else, where are they going to be? Could they be in that five-man? Could they replace? Could it be a five man? You have those three. You have a tongue. Like how many people are we talking about?
Yeah, well, that's just
without,
it, right?
You know, it's funny
friggin...
enough. They have a big enough roster and a lot of heels that without a Money in the Bank, you're still looking at a battle royal or something to get the people on there. It seems.
Yeah, I know. But I don't see. But that's just it. It's on the heel side. And the babyface side, I mean, we said Truth and Kofi.
Couldn't it be setting up like a Four Corners tag team match to get people on there? And be, if you do Swagger and them, you do Kofi and Swagger and Ziggler, you do Kofi and
Truth,
you do Epico and Primo. And I don't know the
Unico
Usos
and Camacho, right? Or the Usos,
or the Usos,
yeah.
Or something. You do a four way. That's another way to get a lot of guys on the. On the pay-per-view, you could do that and still also do the...
I guess you'd have to do the Usos if you want to keep sort of some heel babyface, you know, to
it doesn't
right?
matter. I mean, they could, or they could, you know, I mean...
But again, that doesn't, I mean... I guess
don't know
they have, A,
so
they have
that.
4 hours, and B, that's just...
And there's talk they're going to bump the women's match at all, because... Because...
Unless it's Trish.
Yeah, well, or Melina.
Maybe yeah. Melina.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, there's talk they're going to bump the women's match completely because why put a match out there when you feel the need to get all the women on the show
yeah.
when nobody really wants to see it and the quality is not going to be that good, which is the truth. Nobody is really going to want to see it unless it's Karma versus Beth, and it doesn't seem like that's likely.
Apparently Karma just, they did that Rumble surprise with her, but she's not yet...
Yeah.
Ready to come back.
Yeah.
It was just there. She could do the whole, you know, whatever she was in for 2 minutes and gone, just as a surprise, but that was all she could really be doing. So.
I'm good with cutting the women's match, personally.
Oh, so am I. Again, though, I look at, you know, I look at 4 hours, Rock, Cena, Hunter, you know, the Taker, Hell in the Cell. You've got.
The top three
two
matches,
title matches.
Yeah, I mean, the top four matches
yeah.
really should go almost 2.5 hours, you'd think.
Well, yeah, I guess with entrances and such, you could maybe make a case two and a half hours. But then you're going to look at, what, then a 10-man or whatever you're going to do with Laurinaitis and so that's five.
And we don't
matches.
Know if that's going to be like a Survivor Series style match or a straight-up match, 10-man, 8-man, whatever
would,
it is.
I think you just do a straight up, not an elimination match.
I would think so too, but yeah.
And then, you know, there's talk now, I've heard some rumblings about a draft.
Yeah,
but
I don't understand the point of a draft if you're going to have one general manager.
Well, that's just it. Well, you know, exactly. Yeah, that's just it, so.
Unless the general manager thing is just a way to get those guys in a match and it ends up like a double count out and they don't settle it. Or just leads to a larger feud down the road. I mean, who knows?
That's
maybe
true.
You get one, and then it leads to a draft and a larger feud. Who knows? I mean, we can't assume that they know.
That's true. That's very true. That is. Just looking at you know, going to over to Mania, doesn't look like. I mean, nothing with Shaq here. It's looking like Cody Rhodes against Big Show from watching. Both the Battle Royal and then the live SmackDown.
Yeah, and I didn't see the live SmackDown, but I kind of get that feeling, too.
Yeah.
But it's really strange because they're just denying Shaq, And this whole thing with Cody could be a swerve, or it could be a way to lead Shaq in even. I still think when Shaq says he's going to be there. He's going to be there. Like,
I'm wondering, do you do Shaq and Miz? You know,
well,
Shaq
Miz is
and
the guy
golf,
that,
or,
Miz
you know?
Is the guy that seems to not have anything. Now, I was going to say this to you about Miz, because he's the guy who doesn't have anything, and I don't see him in that 8-man or 10-man.
Yeah, I'd cut him.
Oh. Well, there is that. But there was a guy who last year at WrestleMania was in the main event, who was a special enforcer.
Mm-hmm.
Could that be Miz's role in the main event this year?
The special enforcer?
Ringside enforcer between Cena and Rock. This year, play The Rock's role, be enforcer. Because the thing about that is, that way you could have The Rock lose, still get over on a heel at the end, and help send the home crowd happy. Because he could rock bottom Miz and give him the elbow. And
well, there's a few things with that. Is when we're talking about Rock losing, is this a one and done, or is this multiple matches? That's one thing. Like,
yeah.
Do they come back at SummerSlam with this?
Yeah.
And, I mean, Rock's going to be at Mania Wrestling next year.
Maybe.
Well, as of right now.
Yeah.
Rock
I predict the Mania main event next year to be Punk versus Austin. I'm almost positive that will be the Mania main event next year. That will be the match that they do. Now, what do you do with The Rock then? You're right.
Yeah, then where do you do Rock?
But could you set up then Rock versus Miz for a year down the road?
Well, there is that. I mean, there's lots of possibilities when you're talking.
I'm just thinking because Miz doesn't have anything, it would be an interesting way to get him out there. And like I say, you could have either Cena or Rock beat him up at the end and send the home crowd or the crowd home happy or whatever,
yeah.
Right? I just think that might be a way to do it because he just doesn't seem to have anything going on. The other thing is, what about Shaq being the ringside enforcer then?
For Rock and Cena?
Yeah.
See, I don't...
What about each... What? Yeah, I mean, who
you
knows?
To me, I don't... That's overbooking it.
Yeah?
You know, even
I'm
with
not sure,
Miz, I think
even
it's
with Miz, I personally wouldn't want to see it, but I could see that... I could understand the logic behind it. I don't know if anybody's talked about it, but I could just, like I said, I could understand the logic behind it because he's there, he's available, and he has history, and like I say, he can send the home crowd happy.
That's
you
right.
Know, unless home crowd happy. Does that make sense?
The crowd home happy?
Same thing.
So, yeah. No, but I understand where you're coming to me. I said, I don't know that you need anything. And who knows? I mean, as we record this here on Sunday, The Rock returns tomorrow.
Yeah.
And so who knows, right? I mean, you're right. Miz has been, I mean, when you go to Survivor Series, right? It was Miz and Truth. It was Austin
yeah.
Truth against Rock and Cena, right? So Miz has been as involved in The Rock as Cena has.
And the Laurinaitis character, it's the type of thing the Laurinaitis character would do,
mm-hmm.
put him into that match.
To add excitement.
Yeah.
He's Mr. Excitement.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, that is a possibility. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I just I don't know what you do with this. They have such a glut at the mid-card
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you've got this big match with Teddy and Laurinaitis. And the heels are easy. I mean, we got them, right?
The heels are easy. There's a lot of them. They need to turn a couple people babyface.
Would you... Here's the thing. If you're going to go 4-on-4, and you're going to have... I would presume... Or 5-on-5, or whatever you're going to do, I would presume you've got Ezekiel Jackson on Teddy's team, because he's been coming out with them and coming out with them.
I don't think he... Because he's been destroyed twice in a row by a guy who people don't take seriously in less than a minute. I don't think he's on his team. But you could, just because they're looking for people.
Well, but what I'm wondering, in playing off of the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, before Mania,
mm-hmm.
is the story that Mark Henry turns babyface and joins Teddy Long's team.
It's possible. I don't want to see Henry turn babyface personally, but it's possible.
It's just the way that they were kind of, you know, he's trying to leave, and they're like, oh, come back and get the picture. Like, I think that's coming.
Yeah, well, I think they've been kind of slowly... pushing it in that direction for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
no, I know. I'm just trying to think of ways to get baby faces, because, I mean, who the hell else do you have? Alex Riley?
No.
I mean, no, but I mean, that's the level of, without Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
And the great Khali, for fuck's sakes.
And the other thing is, we talk about Orton possibly being in that spot.
Right.
But all of a sudden, well, I mean, I guess Orton doesn't have to take the pin, but I don't picture Orton on the losing side of WrestleMania. On the other hand, I don't believe Laurinaitis is not the winner of this match. So I just...
And the other problem, too, is that... and it really is a problem when you talk about Randy Orton, you know, in this concussion, is what can he do? Because, you know, he, to me, is in a featured match. Like, if he can go, I would do the tag with Miz and Henry against Shaq and Orton.
Yeah, if possible, yeah.
I mean, that's because you don't want Shaq to go one-on-one. You want to hide him and be able to tag him and do just, you know, the...
Yeah, so you want to have him in there, somebody...
And Randy Orton's a big star that...
Yeah, you want to have him I mean, Orton can work well enough that he can carry the team, right?
He needs to be in a featured match, though.
Yeah.
Right? The way that they do these things. Like, it's inconceivable
that... Again, we talk about the top four matches already going for probably between 2 and 2.5 hours, right?
Yeah, but you don't do... I mean, you're not going to have a 60-minute classic with Shaq. It's going to be a 10-minute, you know, Sports Center spot, right?
Well, I suppose.
And if Orton's got that concussion, that's good.
Yeah.
That's what he should be in, too. A shorter match, if he's got the, you know... So
I don't know. It's really strange, because we're still... I guess we're just a little more than 5 weeks. 40. We're literally 40... No, 35 days today.
35 days.
35 days today.
Five weeks away.
So... We don't. It's amazing we're this far away. Still have so much we don't know where the hell they're going.
Not really, though, because you know the top four. You know what is.
Yeah, but we're talking about the top four. We're talking about dynamics we don't know about them. We don't know, for instance, if Miz would fit in. I don't think he is. I think that's something I'm throwing out there, but it wouldn't surprise me. We don't know if Shawn Michaels is going to fit into that Undertaker and Triple H match.
Well, that was one of our... we talked about it, and we might as well just do it now because you've mentioned it here. We did get a question from Stephen, Ajami, just asking, what role do you think HBK will have with Triple H and The Undertaker? That was his question via Twitter to us. And so you said you just brought that up, so I thought, oh, it's topical there. So what do you think?
It's really strange, because the way that this built up, I did not expect Triple H to accept the match last week.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I thought Shawn would have to come back once or twice more to play into this. But then he goes, accepts the match, makes it a Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't feel like we need Shawn. Doesn't feel like we need Shawn between now and Mania, the next 5 weeks, to be honest with you.
Well.
Because it doesn't feel like they've left anything for him to accomplish pushing the storyline forward for me.
The only thing that, I agree.
He was trying to get the match together. That was his role at first.
It was. But I also agree that with the Hell in a Cell stip,
you don't need Shawn
as the ref, right?
Yeah.
This isn't Kevin Nash, where you throw Mick Foley in there in the Hell in a Cell as a ref as well to try to add intrigue, right? So someone could take a big bump. Mm-hmm. You don't need that right now. Where I see Shawn's role is the reason that Triple H accepted the match was because Undertaker said, you can't do what your friend couldn't do either. And he said, you know, no, I'm better than Shawn. You know, Shawn was better than you. And he's going to say, I'll show you.
That's what pushed him over
there. That's what pissed Triple H off. Yeah. I'll show you who's better when I beat you. And so Shawn is involved there because it's, you know, the whole reason Taker took the match was because, or that Triple H took the match was because to show that he's better than Shawn. So Shawn will be there, obviously.
When you put it like that, all of a sudden the idea of Shawn being the referee, like, hey, would he be on his friend's side against the guy who ended his career? Or would his jealousy over not having this guy be proof that he's better than him?
Yeah.
So that would add some intrigue. But like I say, I mean,
Triple H saying, I want you to have a front row seat when I beat The Undertaker.
If I was to guess what his role is going to be, it's that during the match he comes down and is watching from the outside. And maybe plays a role. Somebody does something to involve him in the match.
But they have a cell, so no one can get in or out.
Yeah, because that never happens.
Very effective.
Yes. But that's my only guess. Like, I don't know. It's, do I want to see him as the referee in there when there's a Hell in a Cell?
I don't.
I guess you talk about somebody needing to take a bump. Well, Sean can't really take, I guess he could take the bump. I don't really think Sean has taken that big bump. It really comes down to the X factor, and the X factor in this case is not X-Pac and A-Train.
Oh, and just incredible?
No,
so you're
not
dealing with the X factor.
The X factor in this case is how much can Undertaker do? We don't know.
I know you hate X factor, but you ain't gotta look at me like that. I said you ain't gotta look at me like that. Remember that? The worst entrance music in
my life. Of course I remember, but I'm not singing along because it's the worst entrance.
Uncle Cracker.
Fucking Uncle Cracker. But, yeah, no, so, yeah, I mean, is the Hell in a Cell, along with Shawn being in there, because they have to hide the Undertaker more than we realize? I mean, last time we saw him, he had this unbelievable match. Like I say, my matches of 2011, we never really went through this. That was my favorite match.
Mm-hmm.
My second favorite was the, I think it was Over the Limit. Is that the name of the pay-per-view? We weighed Christian and
Randy Orton.
And Randy Orton.
Right.
My third favorite was Punk and Cena from Money in the Bank. And my last one would have been the kind of that X Division open casting call there with Low-Key and Jack Evans and everything, where Austin Aries.
Dima Ion.
Yeah, Austin Aries from the Destination X. So those are my four favorite matches. So this is my favorite match of the year. So he's coming off this great match.
Mm-hmm.
So we assume he can do something because he's had a year to rest and he's a veteran. But I don't know. He's so old.
I mean, you look
he's
at him.
Old.
Really, he's so old.
He's so old. We don't know if he can do anything.
We don't know. No, and I mean, he is going to be more aerodynamic. So he's got that going for him.
Yeah, no, he's got that swimmer's haircut now.
Yes. But that's the other part that I liked about Raw, is that they didn't reveal that. So they've got, you know, they still have that to do, whether it's at Mania or whether it's the you know, the go-home or what have you, to be able to do that. They've still got that to pull out of their bag of tricks as well. So that'll be good. But I don't really see Shawn. I mean, Shawn Michaels' role in building it, and I mean, we expected him to come out last year, too.
We did,
and
yeah.
And he didn't, right?
And so, he didn't, and it turned out they didn't need him.
No, and I think
his role was watching the match from a monitor backstage, right? Was he backstage, or was he up in the...
He was in the Hall of Fame, right? So.
But no, remember they showed him, like, watching the match? I think back when he came backstage, he hugged Triple H. They showed him hugging. This was, like, in the extras and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's what he was doing. He was there.
Oh, of course he was there, but he was on the show. He was in the Hall of Fame thing, right?
Yeah,
so they
yeah.
put him out. But, no, I think that I can understand. I mean, it's funny how you look at Shawn Michaels being a hindrance to something.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think you need him. I think you need him to build it. It helps the build. I'm better than you, Shawn. I'm better than the greatest, who's considered the greatest performer of all time. Well, I'm even better, and when I beat Undertaker, I'll prove it. But in terms of being in the match, I just... Is it going to matter? Probably not.
And you know what? It just comes back to me that I feel like the mistake was him accepting last week. I just feel like they needed two or three or four more weeks for him to... before he caved in. And then I feel like it would all come together. Now, I don't know, storyline-wise and how they tie it all in, I feel like it came together too quickly after not coming together. It's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, and now I don't know where they're gonna how they're gonna feel the next few weeks.
Well, if anybody would know anything about coming quickly, that would be you.
Your mom's still tight.
But yeah, that happens. But well, that's with your thumbtack. But I think that Shawn probably will get in it. Like, that being said, like, what should his role be? I think what his role will be is I think he will be the ref. I don't think it's necessary, though.
I kind of suspect it's possible, or it could just simply be that he comes to the ringside and they're beating the shit out of each other. It's just the point where he's like, open the cage, stop this, it's gone too far. And that's possible, too. and Summit, and you know, Triple H or somebody goes, no, you can't stop it here. There could be that type of thing too, right? I mean, it's really difficult. It is difficult. I almost think like that's more because think when you already have these two going at each other in a Hell in a Cell, you don't need something else.
Yeah.
To sell it. But you might need something else on that night to distract people from the fact that these are two older performers who are trying to tell a story.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of think that it might be better off to not put him as a referee, but just have him come down during the match and that be the rule. But, again, we're speculating because they haven't, we have so much time and because we can't tell where they're going yet.
Well, and you're not, I mean, we talk about how, you know, they're two older guys and
is
such.
Is there any word that Sean's going to be at Raw tomorrow?
I don't think it's.
In fact, is there any announcements for his next?
He is coming. I don't know if it's next week or the week after, but yeah.
Well, speculator. I mean, what do you think, or what do you think they should or will do tomorrow night with the? Like you say, I mean, because they gave us this too quickly for me. What are they doing tomorrow night? I don't understand where they're going to go with Triple H versus Undertaker last night. I like the idea. What I said to you was Triple H coming out, saying, "You got to." Come out and face me and cutting that promo, and then a Triple H video saying, you know, a video saying it's, you know, it's over. It's never happening. I think that would have been the most effective way to play off of what they had laid before. But what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
You know, I didn't even, I mean, with The Rock back tomorrow, I don't know, you'd probably just get a Hunter promo, I would think. You know? And,
for what? What's the promo? What's the point of it then?
Well, just so Hunter's on TV. Really, I think that's it. I think,
what did
they
say though?
He says the same old. I'm not saying it's gonna be good. I just think that's what you do. No, really, and I don't think it would be. I think you're more.
See, that's the problem.
Pushing, and yeah, and I could see where you're saying that he's accepting the match. So probably. 2 weeks too soon, I think.
I think so.
You know, they do now one more this week, and then he accepts the following week. But or do you do anything? Do you just have the video package of it?
Maybe.
I mean, who's just, you know?
It's really tough for me to not imagine them doing something to promote the semi-main event.
I mean, you look at tomorrow, you're going to be
that's
Rock.
That's the semi-main, right? Or the co-main?
It is. It is. It's
right?
The semi-main. It's not the co-main. It's the semi-main. It's the second from the top type deal, right?
In UFC, that's what they call they call that the co-main. I guess in WWE, that's the semi-main.
Well, whatever. So,
yeah.
It's the same thing. But I think of co as like co-winners and you know, equal footing kind of thing, right? But you've got Jericho and Punk tomorrow.
And they got to start
to
something.
Start, right? Because Jericho won the Battle Royal there, so
yeah.
Now they can officially go and do it. They're teasing Punk Bryan 3 for tomorrow.
Okay.
For that, so because of the live SmackDown where they had the general managers, it was the double pin.
Your guy won, your guy won.
Yeah, your guy won, no, your guy won, and it was a double pin thing.
Yeah.
And so they have the story coming out of that to try to spin off, and then you've got, so on that, you've got, I mean, that's an easy tag match at some point, you know, is Sheamus and Punk against Jericho and Bryan,
mm-hmm.
right, to be doing it, and you don't do that this week, obviously, but, I shouldn't say
no.
obviously,
no.
but you shouldn't, but,
and,
it, but
and
you've got
to keep in mind that, We're talking 5 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the very last week, there's going to be almost no in-ring wrestling matches or matches. They'll do very, very little the last two shows of SmackDown and the Raw in the ring because they don't want to. They won't push injuries that close to the show.
No. You'll just get the Alex Riley JTG match, right?
Basically.
Yeah. No, I don't even think you get that. You'll get the. No, you.
You get very, very little.
You will. You'll get.
Sort
of, you'll
that's
talking,
what happens,
right?
And it's
fine.
Understandable. Which makes it difficult for a go-home show, but it's understandable.
Well, I don't know if it makes it difficult for a go-home show. I mean, it becomes an infomercial for your pay-per-view, which
yeah,
is essentially
yeah, exactly
what it should
right.
be, right?
Yeah.
So, but, again, we've got... So, do we have four Raws, then? If we're 5 weeks away, we have four Raws, right?
Because
5 weeks would be April 2nd, right,
yeah.
from tomorrow. So, there's four Raws.
Four Raws, and we're throwing, like you say, basically throw one out.
Exactly. So there's three Raws left to do it. So
as far as where they have to really feel content.
That's right.
Yeah.
So they've got to put stuff in the ring. And so maybe next week you do that that tag match, or 2 weeks from now you do that tag match, right? Not the go-home, but before the go-home you do that tag match.
Or you could even do something like that on the go-home and just really they take it easy.
That's true.
Because it's a tag match.
But undercard,
again...
Because
they have done something like that before.
But again...
I mean, remember historically, like in the past, what we saw in those go-home shows, for instance, we saw Triple H versus Shawn Michaels on a go-home show once, because that was a way to... those two really trust each other, could give people a main event that they could actually say, hell, they're giving us a real main event.
Mm-hmm.
But those two knew that there was no chance that they were going to hurt each other because they're such good friends, right?
Yeah.
They're going to work together. So, I mean, that's the type of match that you're probably going to see. So maybe you do have your final Punk versus Bryan match as a main event of the go-home show because they do know they're not going to hurt each other.
Yeah.
They've been around for so long and they know each other so well, right?
That's true.
So who knows? Like I said, it's amazing the amount of speculation we're having to do here, though, it's the thing.
Well, that, and again, that's because, as I said, when everything kind of forms, and when a card forms, then you get a little bit more, you can have a little more of a clearer idea. And like you said, with what do you do with Taker and Triple H next week, or tomorrow,
you got to kick off that Punk versus Jericho. You got to now kick it into high gear tomorrow.
Well, you have to do that. I mean, you get something with Sheamus and Bryan.
You get something, yeah.
You know, to me, it's a Sheamus match where Bryan attacks him.
Yeah.
Is the easy thing to do, right? Is you know, Bryan smashes him with the belt and attacks him from behind or whatever. I think Bryan gets the heat.
Or you just do some sort of promo where Sheamus is going to go after him and he hides behind AJ. You know, something like that.
Well, no, because they're going to have their match. I just think that they're going to have their match. So I think that, and again, you got to fill time on this show. So I think you fill it with Sheamus and, you know, whoever, Dolph or,
yeah.
You know, or something like that, or Swagger,
yeah.
You know.
Well, like they did last week with Sheamus versus Henry, right?
That's right. Yeah, yeah, same idea. I just wouldn't go back to Henry again, just, you know, being 2 weeks in a row. That's just me. I think that, but that's a match at least, and then there's a story with the match, so there's a segment of the show done. You're going to have a segment, a big segment with The Rock.
Uh-huh.
You're probably going to have another segment with Cena,
uh-huh.
Right? You're going to have...
let's talk about that. I mean, I think you open with The Rock. I think you open with The Rock to try and get ratings and to get people texting their friends or calling their friends, like, Rock's on first, and try and pump that rating. And then it ends, that opening segment ends with, I'll be back in this ring at the end of the night, and John Cena, I'll be seeing you here.
Yeah.
So that's when you get the face-to-face. So that way you get Rock bookending the show, trying to get the ratings up. I think that's the way they should, and I think
yeah.
There's a good chance they will do it that
that's,
way.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, well, I think there's a very, almost, you know, 100% chance that he ends the show.
Now, the question is, will he be all over at backstage segments and interacting with
Santino
and shit like that, right?
Yeah,
Zack Ryder.
I don't think so. I think when it was This Is Your Life Rock or Rock Birthday Day when he was backstage or whatever.
He was last year in those backstage things a lot.
That was his birthday.
Different role, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's, I mean, even when you do This Is Your Life, John Cena just comes out and does it to Foley or whatever, gives Rock. But I don't think you do. I think, yeah, I can't see it.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I mean, at Mania even, when he was a guest host, again, different role. But he was back, you know, with Mean Gene and Pee Wee Herman, right?
Yeah.
You know, and...
But it is a guest host, so, I mean, it's a little different.
A little different, right, yeah. But he was still the one drawing the money, right? Even as the guest host.
He was
the draw. So,
he was the draw.
I mean, so he is the draw again.
And he will be again. And that's funny, because that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about. That's funny. You don't see the little Peter off there.
When things are funny.
But that's one of the... let's talk about... that a little bit. One of the things I wanted to talk about was The Rock's supposed to be coming in here, and it's funny because we're hearing a lot of the stuff. It's odd. We're hearing a lot of the stuff backstage about the jealousy of the people in the locker room regarding him, and I just don't get it at all. But
don't you?
No.
Oh. There's a lot of John Cena fans in the back.
Yeah, I don't get it at all, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But retards?
What?
Huh? So, anyways, I don't get it at all. But the Rock is supposed to be there. I mean, I think we've all always assumed, and we've heard it, that largely Cena's supposed to get the rub from the Rock and come out of this almost a equal star.
Right.
And it doesn't look like that's going to happen to me, because Because even though Cena was cut a good promo last week, when he gets in the ring with The Rock, he's not gonna look as good. He's not gonna look like as big a star because he's not as charismatic. And at the end, charisma really trumps all.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's just the thing. But I do think, you know, it's not even that. I think that Cena is very charismatic.
But he's not as charismatic as The Rock. I'm not saying he isn't. But it's charisma at the end trumps all. It's not even about wrestling. If you look at, you could look at football. You could look at a Michael Vick will get more endorsements than an Eli Manning because he's more charismatic, even though he's not as good a player.
That's right.
Charisma trumps all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you could look at every presidential election for the last 50 years in the States, and you could look at the candidates and said the most charismatic guy won, regardless of politics.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, every single time, charisma trumps all. So when he's in there, it's not that he's not charismatic. Is that there's maybe five guys in the history of a business that's 100 years old as charismatic as The Rock, and Cena's not one of them.
No, not even. And no, that's very true. And he will look, he won't look like as big of a star next to The Rock, and that is what it is.
It kind of exposes him here. I think that's, I don't know that they still understand that or are prepared for that.
Well, again, though, I mean, you've got The Rock, is going to be, you know, he's got a couple more appearances. He's going to be there more sporadically as your star. The Rock, as funny as this
sounds, he's never going away again.
No, that's right. He's here forever. No, but the Rock, as funny as this is the 2012 version of Andre the Giant.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know, he's going to come in, he's going to pop a house, and, you know, and he's going to, he's going to leave.
And
he'll be back again in 6 months or whatever he's going to be, right? I mean, he's filming a movie in May, a couple movies, I think, but I think he's committed to, as far as we know, it's probably a SummerSlam situation and then another Mania.
Yeah, and so, is SummerSlam a match or is it an appearance?
Well, what do you
is
do?
SummerSlam going to be in Los Angeles?
It is, again, yeah. It's the,
even
the,
though last
the,
year
it's
had difficulty, it had difficulty drawing the house
it
last
did.
Year.
It did, it's a tradition, so it's going to be in Los Angeles. Now, my question for you, though, is if we're going to go out that way, what do you do with The Rock at WrestleMania 29?
Yeah, and, well, I mean, what do you do with The Rock at WrestleMania 29 has a lot to do with, again, where does The Miz fit in on this WrestleMania? I mean, to me, as much as there's two things I'd like to see with The Miz. I'm going to get into this a little bit more later on because I want to talk about how we're talking about how there's so many heels and there's so few baby faces, and I think that we should look at maybe having three of these heels turn and maybe one baby face turn the other way, and Miz is on my list of heels I would turn baby face. Actually, where I'd like to see him being a baby face next year. And so, I mean, for me, for that reason, I don't want to see Rock versus Miz, just because I'd like to see him turn. But, I mean, it makes sense from a lot of ways. I mean, again, I mean, you do have CM Punk. And we talk about Punk versus Austin. Austin apparently kind of wants that match. So you got the idea of that. You have the idea that it's the dream match for Punk, he said. It makes sense in a lot of ways. It's fresh. But Punk also has talked crap about The Rock. I think that Punk can somehow come off looking good against Austin. I don't think he'd necessarily be a heel against Austin the same way he'd be a heel against The Rock. And I think that just because of the type of charisma and the type of personalities of Austin and CM Punk, I think that they, like I said, I think he'd come across close to Austin's level, whereas it's not that, I mean, not that Rock is a much bigger star or more charismatic than Austin, but because he's so much flashier, because there's a difference between flashiness, and we got into this with the Hart versus Michaels conversation that we had, there's a difference between charisma and flashiness. They're not, a guy can be equally charismatic as somebody who's more flashy. But it's because charisma is different than flashiness, right? So, I mean, that's part of what we also got to kind of look at here. But because The Rock is so flashy and his charisma is different, I think it would kind of engulf, I think to some degree it would engulf Punk and make him look kind of bad, like it will with Cena. Certainly make him look like a heel, whereas I think he would have a much more even give and take back and forth dynamic if he was with Austin. So, I mean, if you look at, but I mean, you don't want to waste Rock on something small. Is Miz big enough? I mean, Miz isn't a big enough star this year. He's nowhere near the star he was last year at Mania. And last year at Mania, frankly, he wasn't as big a star as he was at Royal Rumble before that. So I don't know that The Miz is a good guy long-term for The Rock to be in that position with. I don't know that that Punk works. So it really becomes then, I mean, who's the emerging star to come up this next year? I think if I'm fantasy booking it, I'm going, who's the best guy to put in the ring with The Rock
right.
1 year from now? It is Randy Orton for me. Because Randy Orton is established, has talked crap about him too, and backed up Cena.
Right.
Has
the history.
Yeah, the history, has a style and a type of charisma that I think would work. I think it'd be comfortable to have him be booed against The Rock. I don't think the company would mind that, and I don't think the fans would mind that, but
no.
I think he'd have his own fans too. I think if I'm going to fantasy book it, the next guy to get the rub from The Rock for me would be Randy Orton.
Okay. Yeah, and that's, I mean, you're right. I mean, Miz, I just don't see him as big of a star. Like you said, CM Punk, I like the Punk Austin. I like the dynamic of the beer drinker against the straight edge.
Yeah.
I do think Punk and Rock, though, I think when you talk about charisma, I think that Punk would not come off as badly as Cena.
See, I think he would just because Cena, like I say, just because Punk is not flashy like The Rock. I think Rock's type of, I don't know, it's funny because when Cena insults somebody, it feels forced.
Yes, I was just about to say
but
that.
But when Rock insults somebody, it feels, but when Rock insults somebody, it feels funny. When Cena insults somebody, it feels forced. When Punk insults somebody, it usually feels mean.
It seems genuine, though. Yes, mean, yeah.
It does seem genuine, but mean.
But, yes, that's right. No, and I was just about to say, yeah, that Cena seems like he's just been memorizing Mr. Gewirtz's line there. But when you talked about Orton. That's actually a good pick. I think you could go with that in terms of, you know, you're right. If he gets booed, it's not the end of the world. If he turns heel, for God's sakes, it's not the end of the
world. In fact, I'm not so sure that isn't a move that I'd make this year. Like I say, I want to get it to who should turn and who shouldn't.
Yeah. The other candidate that I would look at, it maybe a little too soon, but I think, you know what, you got to be pulling triggers on some of these guys, and there's got to be a future eventually, is Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, well, and we've had this discussion off air, whereas I think Jack Swagger has at least as much or more potential than Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
I still think Ziggler's good, though, but I also think Swagger has all the tools to be a megastar as well.
Yeah, I think we can agree that Swagger requires more rehab.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
Well, the way they're doing it with Ziggler is not going to take long.
But the thing with Ziggler,
again, Ziggler's on my list of guys I turn babyface this year.
Ziggler seems like a Teflon guy. Hashtag face.
Yes.
He seems like a Teflon, he's like a Matt Hardy and an RVD that, you know, they just, as much as they want to bury him, they just, he comes back fine.
Well, there's one reason for that. He's such a good worker.
Yeah, his
work is so good in the ring that he can go out there and have a 4-star match with somebody, and all of a sudden, even if he loses, he doesn't look that bad.
Exactly. No,
That is something, you know. Yeah, that is the strength that he has right now.
The only, and just from a, I can understand what you're saying with turning him babyface. And the fans may want that as well. The only reason that I don't do that is because in a match, of course, the heel is the general.
Uh-huh.
And putting that together. So, you know, he's obviously...
Well, but less so now than in the past. Well, yes, he still calls some of the spots, but nowadays so many things are choreographed ahead of time before they get to the ring as compared to earlier in the year, in the past, where so much was called on the fly.
Yeah.
That... it's not. I don't know if it's quite as important as it once was.
It's true. It's true. It's. But yeah, and I could see him. I don't know yet with him being a babyface. And it's possible. I mean, Sheamus, we knew the time was. Right?
Yeah. Let's get into this a little bit because this seems to be where the direction is going.
Okay. Yeah.
I talk about today's February 26th. So
2012.
Yes.
AD.
Exactly, pretty much 364 days ago was the launch of We Talk Wrestling. February 27th.
Okay.
Of 2011. So we're a year old now. So I kind of want to look at what we were talking
happy
about a year
birthday.
Ago. Yeah, happy birthday. And thanks to all the people who've stuck with us for the last year. Because you guys are great, and it's been way more than we ever figured. Do you remember the first show where, like, 12 people have listened to us? Holy shit!
I know.
And now it's like
8, so that's awesome.
8? That means we dropped.
Oh.
800? 8,000?
Have we expanded?
80?
Like your testicles?
Like my testicles?
Speaking of the first show.
Speaking of the first show, very first line. And we will have the best stuff to go through some of this. But we're a year old, so I want to talk about some of the things we were talking about a year ago. We were talking a year ago how we thought Sheamus was going to make a great babyface.
Yes.
But we were talking a year ago how The Miz didn't seem like he had it.
Right.
How Miz was getting his chance, but it didn't seem like he was
carrying the ball.
Carrying the ball properly.
Yeah.
So now that we're 1 year later and Miz actually is in the spot that he's in, Sheamus is in the spot that he's in.
Right.
Kind of what do you think of what we were talking about a year ago?
I'm brilliant. No, I mean, the thing with Sheamus is that you could see that he had something that the crowd could connect to, even as a heel. And I think with Sheamus, the real sort of proof in that was even when that Nexus was there. And he was the champion, and they were, you know, talking about how no one was safe, you know, not even you, Sheamus. And that's kind of when I saw, okay, well, he's got kind of something that the fans will connect with. That's really when he kind of broke out of the mold of just being, you know, I'm a pale Irish guy, right?
Yeah.
So that was good. And he's got, obviously, someone in his corner as well with Hunter.
Yeah.
So that's good. In terms of the
Miz, had a really interesting year.
He has. I mean, you think of, he's had a really, has it been a year? That,
a little more than a year since, I think
he won. Wasn't he the King of the Ring there and had that?
A little more than, he was King of the Ring going into his match against what's his name?
Hunter?
Yeah. No. Match against,
Daniel Bryan, D. Bryan, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so he's had really, it's been a year and a half of Sheamus, right, where he's, it's really, you know, he's gone from wearing that stupid King getup and losing to Santino to put over a feud with Morrison to getting bumped from wrestling. I mean, when you look at the Mania, I mean, it's been said in many places, but, you know, one of the top four matches in this year's WrestleMania was bumped last year, right?
Yep.
So, and turned into the Battle Royal. So, it's interesting there, but I think with Sheamus and then you look at Miz. I mean, Miz, it just, again, you could just see it. It's no matter how hard they try, and yes, he's a great PR guy, and is, you know, is fantastic in talking to people. But he kind of reminds me of me, and I'm not a wrestler, right? I mean, like, you know, it's he's someone that I don't even know that I could go have a beer with, but he's someone at the office, right, is what he's doing, especially when he wears his shirt and tie. He's just a guy with he's the loudmouth at the office. Excuse me. But that's what I see. I don't see him as, he doesn't have any air of any kind of tough guy. He doesn't have any air of, I mean, and
like,
for him to be,
we're talking about an interesting year and a half for Sheamus. A year and a half ago with Miz, we're going, oh, man, this guy's emerging. He looks like he's going to be ready. Then he got the chance, and we're like, I'm not so sure he's proving it. And now a year later, it's like, wow, he didn't prove it, and he's had time to reemerge himself or reestablish himself,
right,
and has failed.
Yeah. So, I mean, you tried, and you failed.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, they tried with Lex Luger, and it didn't work,
it
right?
It didn't work.
I mean, but you try. And you got to give him credit that they did, you know, give him.
And often I think that when something fails, I go, it's their fault. They didn't get how to use him. They didn't use him right. With Miz, I mean, sure, Miz didn't really beat anybody when he was champion.
Yeah.
But he was a heel champion, so I don't know how important that is. Like, Daniel Bryan's not really beating anybody either.
Yes,
but
what? No, Daniel, would you look at Daniel Bryan? Daniel Bryan has beaten The Big Show. He's beaten Mark Henry. He hasn't done it clean.
Yes, that's true. But that's the same thing. That's the same thing. If you look at that, well, I guess
Miz was losing.
I guess Miz was losing.
Miz was losing, and Miz was also the person that the one fucking person he beat was whatever he was, 60-year-old Jerry Lawler
and Morrison.
Yeah,
true. That's true.
Yeah. So I mean, and I think Lawler is a more impressive victory.
But leading into winning the title, though, he had been winning. It was after he got the title that he started losing, actually. But whereas Daniel Bryan was losing until he got the title, then he started winning.
Yeah.
But I don't really think – my point is that I'm not really blaming them on this. I just don't think he was ready or was possible. I think at the end of the day, he's being exposed as being a guy at a certain level. And not.
Well, I think – no, because I look at – I think that The Miz is the example when you have the wrong people – pushing the wrong guy.
Okay,
and
how's that?
That's The Miz.
How's that? What do you mean by that?
The Miz that we talked about, he just doesn't have it. He just doesn't have that sort of that quality to be a top star. So that's on him.
Not
so
as a champion.
That's where he's the wrong guy. And the wrong people are the people writing Raw who suck dick.
There's a combination there.
So that's what it is. It's the wrong people pushing the wrong guy.
Yeah.
Now, and that's, I mean, CM Punk, the cream rises to the top, right?
Yeah.
And he is a top guy. He's the wrong people pushing the right guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
true.
With the thing with Nash and the tag with Hunter and you know, all of that.
Yeah.
You know, he's persevered because the cream of the crop, right, rises to the top. And so when you look at Daniel Bryan now over on SmackDown, that to me is a combination of the right people pushing the right guy. He's got the right character for him.
Yeah.
His stories have been good, and he's
good.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
so,
he's awesome. Yeah, and it's funny because even though he is everything that Vince McMahon doesn't look for, Vince McMahon has said he's good. Vince McMahon has said he's good in the ring. He has a good character. He likes his work.
He does.
He likes what he's doing, even though he's everything that he doesn't look for.
No.
So I mean, that says something, right?
Well, when you can at least temporarily, because you know today is Sunday. Who knows what happens tomorrow in Vince's world?
Or that, who knows what happens in an hour?
Yeah, exactly, pal. But I think that if you can break, you know, that stubbornness, you know, you're good, right? So. It's going to be interesting what happens after WrestleMania as well with Daniel Bryan. But I mean, I think we talk about that closer to what
well,
we do
I mean,
after.
Like I say, we're talking about what we were talking about a year ago. Now, a year ago, we were just seeing Christian coming back.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about how he's never going to get his shot. 1 year later, he got his shot. And if it wasn't for an injury, he'd probably still be upper mid card in that SmackDown side. So, what do you think about what we were talking about a year ago with Christian compared to where he kind of is today?
Well, I mean, you look at with Christian and the benefit of circumstance, you know. Without if Edge is here, Christian's not.
I think we would have gotten Edge versus Christian.
I think
we would have got that feud. So
yeah.
I'm not 100% sure. I think his time was... He's finally had. They were because they were.
You know, you're, you know, that is possible. Actually, that you may have had where that.
Talk about the cream rising. I think his work had gotten so good, and they had.
The thing with him though is that his work had been so good for so long that you know with Daniel Bryan it was
different. When I say his work was so good, it was like his work was really good. But since he came back from TNA, his work was better, but his confidence at that work was better.
Yeah.
It was like he was more confident. It's not like he was better in the ring, but he was more confident about his ability in the ring.
I think getting that NWA title, honestly, when he was the TNA champion, I think that did it. You know, as much as he was in a draw or, you know, maybe
he learned from
a little bit bust, he used that. He learned from it. You're right. And it just, he was a circumstance. I mean, the way that he was pushed was the circumstance, right?
Yes, it was, yeah.
And he had a hell of a summer. What did he do in the fall? I mean, I just when did he get hurt?
He did hurt quite a long time.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because I saw him come out on that on the Slammies.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah, I mean, he was hurt. Like, I mean, We saw him here in Calgary. That was August 25th, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Right, yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he was hurt shortly after that. So I think he was hurt sometime September, early October. So, I mean, he was just coming off of the World
Cup. So he was really derailed then. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's right, because he lost at SummerSlam, right?
Yeah.
He lost the belt at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, and that was... And you're right. I think that may have been... especially with Edge going into the Hall of Fame this year, it sort of shows how much they like Edge.
Yeah.
And so I think Edge would have had the pull to be able to say, hey, I want to work with Christian.
And because they still didn't have a lot of heels at the time. They hadn't established Henry still. They had, you know.
That's right. Henry was establishing.
Yeah.
And, well, I don't even think he had yet.
No, he hadn't.
Henry started to be established around the same time as Punk.
Yeah.
Cut that promo.
Yeah. They were starting to push him over on SmackDown, and he started winning some, but he would lose to Christian.
So it's so, it's so funny, though, this kind of what-ifs and such. I mean, again, would they have gone, you know, did they go with Henry out of necessity to build that next guy, you know, and would they have done that with Edge, or would they have just turned Orton?
That's another thing we were talking about. We were talking about about a year ago from now. We were talking about how Henry was about to get that heel push on SmackDown. Would it work this time?
Yeah,
that is, you know. And we were skeptical, though. We thought, you know, he looked. There was something again. His attitude looked different right from the beginning. His confidence looked better right from the beginning.
Well, those promos that he was like, and it wasn't even the promos so much that he was cutting. It was the trash talking that he was doing. That was just. That was, and it's still, and it's different, right?
Yeah.
Nobody really does that.
Yeah.
You know, and not as believably. I mean, Miz tries to trash talk a little bit, but you know, just you know, it sounds like the kid who's you know has the giant older brother that just beat you up and he's in your face. You know, you got knocked the fuck out. Pay back the motherfucker, ain't it? You know, that sort of thing, right?
Another thing we were talking about a year ago was how the Punk versus Orton feud for Mania wasn't really working.
It wasn't, no.
And again, you look at them this year, you look at where they are, it's very interesting. I mean, one thing that we could not have foreseen 1 year ago when we started the show was the following WrestleMania would have a babyface Punk and a heel Daniel Bryan as the world champion.
Yeah, oh no, I mean, that's, again, and that very much is reminiscent of, you know, of Eddie and Benoit.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the two...
But I'm talking about the fact that one was a babyface and one was a heel, and now they're positioned
reversed.
That's one thing. I mean, I could have seen them as champions, possibly. But
no,
I
you couldn't
thought,
have.
Well,
you could not
I could have
seen
one of them as champions.
Yeah, you could not have seen. And
not
actually,
a Mania, right? I could have seen Daniel Bryan getting a shot because. But I would have seen him as a babyface champion.
Oh,
getting
I could
a short
not
run.
Have seen Daniel Bryan as a champion. I would have seen Punk before Daniel Bryan as
yeah,
a
Punk
champion.
Yeah, Punk for sure, though, but I would have seen Punk as a heel. Like, I wouldn't have seen
oh,
him
yeah,
as
yeah.
Him.
Well, he was a heel, right? And he was a very, and he's a really good heel, and he had that straight edge
Better than you. I'm
yeah, straight edge says I'm better than you, and that was against the heel. That's when you start to think, okay, well, maybe Austin.
Yeah.
Right? Last time last year, going for this coming Mania, right?
Yeah.
Thinking maybe Austin. But, no, and it's a... That's the thing, is that things change. And, I mean, it was that one promo from CM Punk, right, that changed his year and here we are. I mean, so, and what are we going to be talking about next year?
Well, that's the thing. What 1 year from now, what would you like to see? Not what will we see, because you can't guess something like that. You can't guess Edge's career ending. I mean, we were talking last year about how Ziggler looked like to us like he had a main event, and maybe a year from now he'd be the Miz. That's what we said.
Mm-hmm.
We said he could be the Miz at next year's Mania main event
kinda,
1 year ago. And what do you think about
Ziggler?
Well,
I was going to say, and I'm still kind of saying that now, right?
About next year.
You know, about next year. And that's and it may be sooner than that. It's just that I look at sort of it's changed a little bit. Because of all that, the dynamic of you know 12 pay-per-views versus 4 and all that, but I mean I'd still go on that sort of the old school calendar where you know the WWE year starts you know
Mania.
After Mania.
Well, now it officially
go,
starts
right?
February 27th because
right.
of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But what do you do? I mean, dissolves. I don't know.
Well,
I mean,
1 year ago, Ziggler's kind of in the same spot, and I think that's interesting too. I mean. We were saying a year ago he's ready probably
well,
to get...
he's main event, or not main event, but he's had championship matches.
And he had those against Edge a year ago.
Two rumbles in a row.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, and what did he do last year?
Yeah.
At WrestleMania.
Off the top of my head, was there Money in the Bank he was in? I can't remember.
No, there wasn't, because they had the
Battle Royal.
Right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Was he in against for IC or U.S. belt, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember, to be honest.
Was he against Kofi? I don't know. I assume, because he and Kofi wrestled each other for, I believe, 100,000
times.
Yeah, 100,000 weeks in a row or something. And that, again, we were talking about a year ago, we were talking about how we'd like to see them just use Ryder. Well, they did. So 1 year later, what do you think?
I think they used Ryder. Oh, you mean a year from for next year? Well, see, to me, where I see...
From 1 year ago until today.
Where I see Zack Ryder, I mean, from 1 year ago now, you go from 2011 and forward to 2012, and, you know, Zack Ryder took his character, did it himself, you know, got a cult following that turned into a large following, and it reminded me a lot of when, you know, when King Mabel was winning the King of the Ring in Philadelphia in 1995, and the crowd is chanting ECW, ECW, because it's that cult underground thing that's different that they're looking for. They're looking for a change, and in 1995, that change, when they're chanting, was ECW, and in, you know, 2011, that was Zack Ryder. We want Ryder. That become the chance. So, I mean, that's, to me...
Yeah, but we said, what I'm saying, though, is we said 1 year ago, just use this guy. Well, they did, so what do you think of the use?
Well, I think it's fine. I mean, he was, I like what they're doing with Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the whole Kane stupidity aside, I mean, Zack Ryder is going to sell you lots of merchandise. He's your, you know, everybody wants to main event WrestleMania, right? Not everybody can main event WrestleMania, and I don't ever see Zack Ryder main eventing WrestleMania.
Well, I'm going to put it to you this way then. Who watches Zack Ryder on YouTube?
I don't know.
The hardcores?
Yeah.
The hardest of the hardcores?
I would say more than that if you're getting... hardcores, or now I think there's going to be hardcore Zack Ryder fans, certainly,
yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I don't really watch it anymore, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I've kind of stopped, too.
Yeah.
Every now and then I'll catch one, but who watches, who goes to events? I'm not talking house shows, that's mainly kids. I'm talking things like Raw and pay-per-views. Who goes to those are kids and the hardcores. Those are the two people that go.
Right.
And that's why they, you know. So who's there is his fans. Television, he's death for ratings. He has consistently been death for ratings since they've given him a push. People change the channel when Zack Ryder's on. So he's only over to that audience. He has not pushed himself over to the casual audience successfully.
But, and, I mean, if he sells you merchandise and he makes you money, then just, like I said, he's not...
It's all about the ratings.
He is not, as I said, he's not going to main event WrestleMania.
I cannot do a Russo, so I won't, but I tried.
No, well, that was the shit.
It was.
That was the Russo.
That was the Russo.
But I don't see him main eventing WrestleMania, but, I mean, we talk about, is he in a better position a year, and how was he used? I think he's fine. You know, I would have maybe had him hold that U.S. title longer.
Yeah.
But in hindsight, but, I mean, it is what it is, and that was all part of the Kane story anyway.
Yeah.
With his loss, he's just never, he's been derailed from getting that revenge, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That story is kind of fallen
off.
We
had talked about, I said to you a few weeks ago, how I thought we'd see Kane versus Ryder at Mania for the title, or for the, enough
just
for the title.
In general,
just
yeah.
In general, yeah. And it's still possible. I kind of think that now it'll be the first pay-per-view after Mania is where we'll see it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's obviously, he hasn't been around.
And neither has Kane, except for in a dark match, right, against Cena at last Raw.
That's right. Well, yeah. But, I mean, they're both selling the, one selling the ambulance, I mean, and the other one, I mean, the thing is now he's selling this this wheelchair ride.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's taken shit like that and shown up in wheelchair and this and that. So, I mean, who knows? I mean, I think Zack Ryder's year will be capped off at WrestleMania.
Okay.
That'll be like, you know, what is his fate? You know, was this just, was he a flash in the pan?
Yeah.
You know, was he an Alex Riley?
Yeah.
Was he a Santino? You know, was he a Virgil? Like, what, or is, does he have at least a little bit, I mean, I guess you could, Santino's a little unfair because Santino's still around.
Yeah.
But Santino got that push. It was on all the time, and then he kind of faded, right? And went to kind of jobber status for the longest time before kind of pulling back. And so this is the other part now with Ryder. It probably is this summer. It's probably his time to get this is the Vince McMahon pullback, right?
Yeah, and well, I mean, we saw it even with Sheamus. You see it all the time.
Yeah, well, we give you the push.
Then we give you the shits and see how you handle it. And if you come through that good...
Right.
With the right attitude, that you can get yourself another push, and who knows, maybe you'll get that now.
That's right.
So,
but also,
all he could do is continue to show up, work hard, and try and do what he do to get over.
I love that, by the way. We're gonna make you a star, but we're gonna push it, then we're gonna pull you back, and then we're gonna wonder why no one takes you seriously as a superstar after.
Yeah.
Fuck,
well,
I wonder.
That's Vince McMahon.
I know, but it doesn't work.
Yeah, no, he's an idiot. Why don't we get to another one of your questions before we get into another one of my subjects here?
All right, let me...
Something else you want to talk about?
Let me have a...
You have a question, or you have another topic you have prepared? Usually I'm the one with shit prepared. You're the improv guy. This time it's...
I know. Now it's I'm just looking at the other Twitter questions that we had here, just to see, because we've hit a lot of the topics that we were asked about already, so I'm just...
Just organically?
Hitting, yeah. So
cool.
I'm just hitting the wee flesh here. Just to say, one of it is, do we think that, what do we think should be, that's a stupid question. So what do we think should be the main event of WrestleMania? Well, you know, there's this particular person.
Is wondering if Taker, Triple H should be
considered
the main event
over? No, pushing for Jericho and
Punk.
Over, but I mean, this whole show is...
No, it's the biggest match in WrestleMania history, and it's the reason why they're calling it that, between Cena and Punk. So.
Yeah. So, well, let's go with Cena and Rock, and Cena...
Cena and Rock,
let's go with the other one here, my next topic, because we're talking about the future, and we're talking about the past, and we're talking about WrestleMania 30 now, to go 2 years down the road here now.
Yeah.
Not going to be in New York.
What?
Not the
Madison. Well, I guess they're going to New York next year.
Yeah, and so Madison Square Garden is out. They're taking bids for WrestleMania 30 the same way they have with all other WrestleManias. So, or the same way they do with all other WrestleManias. So they are just going to continue this tradition of giant shows. So really, WrestleMania 30 will not have that. I mean, and really, it was WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 10, WrestleMania 20, right?
Yeah.
But so there's not going back as Jericho suggested to MSG at 30.
It's strange because historically, you look at MSG as the one place where you can make a lot of money, and because you're in New York and you have that New York kind of media attention and everything, it makes up for the fact that you're not drawing the 60,000-70,000 of an arena. A Miami or something like that they have. So New York does have that advantage, though. But I guess they're at the point where with them going to New York a year earlier, they'll look at all that. They don't want to. They want to stay to arenas. They don't. I guess they don't. I mean, part of it is the big event. You know, they don't ever want to go back to arenas, because if you look at it, they were at WrestleMania 1 year at Madison Square Garden, then you do the three arenas in WrestleMania 2, then you go for the big event in 3, right, at Ford Field or whatever it was, right, Pontiac Silverdome.
Yeah. 4 and 5 small in Trump Plaza.
Yeah, four
but
and
they,
five small.
You don't want to say small, but 4 was small in Trump Plaza, 5 also in Trump Plaza, but the only reason they went back is because Trump guaranteed them $1 million,
yeah, exactly,
right, which in 1989... right?
It was good, yeah.
So,
and then you look at an arena in Toronto.
Sky Dome, yeah.
And then you look at Indianapolis in arena, I believe it was. No, was it?
Where was... No, that was inside. It was supposed to be outdoor.
That's right. That was supposed to be outdoor.
But
it
was.
They didn't sell tickets. That's right. They moved inside.
Bomb threat.
So eight was Indiana.
Hoosier Dome, yeah.
Then nine was outside.
The smallest.
Okay.
That was the smallest, though. That was Caesar's
Palace. And then it got to the point where WrestleMania 1, you're in Madison Square Garden because it was your home base. That makes sense. WrestleMania 10, your company was kind of on the downtrend. It wasn't drawing as much money. You couldn't go to a big arena. You're in Madison Square Garden because it's your home base, and you know you could draw there. It's still
right.
MSG,
yeah.
So it makes sense. 11,
Hartford.
You know, yeah. 12,
small.
Anaheim.
Small.
13, Chicago.
Small.
It only got to the point where they got to the point where they could go to arenas again, somewhere in 14, 15, where they... 14,
it was
18, I believe, was still,
actually. Or 17, I'm sorry.
17 was where they were back in arena. But I think they could have gone earlier, but...
Yeah,
but
they
could have gone 15, 16.
15 and 16, yeah,
I think
definitely could have.
But it's only at 6, since 17 where you've gone, except for WrestleMania 20, they've been at arenas. That is the tradition now.
Well,
and you want to present this
what
image
about,
that you could be this
no,
big.
No, because weren't they at, no, because they were at Staples.
Oh, that's true. They
and
were
they
in
were
Staples.
In Chicago.
They were in Chicago, you're right.
Not back at Rosemont.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
States,
you're right. They were. That's where
really it's
Punk
been,
made his debut.
That's right. It's a Gatling gun.
Yeah, that's right. Cena versus Hunter.
Yes, with Huntor,
yeah.
the Conan the Barbarian
you're
bullshit
right.
thing. But I'm thinking, where did they go in 24? Was that the?
Because
19 was outdoors, 18 was, or not outdoors, but it was in Seattle at Safeco.
Yep.
18, Sky Dome again.
Well.
17 was the big, well, it was Brent Kremen's fault.
Yeah.
But 17 was the in Texas
Pasadena,
there.
Yeah.
20 they go back, 21, Chicago, 22, LA, and then 23 was back in Ford Field.
Yes,
another big one. So then
24,
I
believe
23 was the start of the big.
Yeah, 24 was again. I think
is that Orlando. That,
no, I don't think 24 was. I think was it 24 where Awesome in the Hall of Fame, and that was back at the Astrodome,
whatever it's called. You're right.
Yeah. And then 25. So yeah, I mean, but yeah, I mean, so they have largely though over the last 14 years. Being in outdoor big arenas, about 10 of them, what is
probably,
it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
something like that, and about, you know, smaller ones inside. So, I mean, you know, why present the image that you're small? Why just go with the big things? I think it's okay not to. The reason you went to Russell or to Madison Square Garden the first time it's your home base, the second time it's your home base and your business is down, the third time it's tradition, but I think you're past the point where you need that tradition now. So,
do you forego tradition to make money? I say yes, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think
especially
so.
Especially getting into the part where the WWE quarterly conference call that just happened, losing money.
First quarter they lost money in a long, long
in
time.
In a long time now. This is based on not on the wrestling, right?
Yes.
This is based on the films and the other, you know, network costs in terms of getting things going with that. But it, nevertheless, you know, they're losing money.
They lost money for the first time in forever. And, you know, you got to give them something that this company did not, the economy went to the toilet, went to the Russo, took a shit,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't lose money for so long. Despite that, that you got to give them the credit for that. First off, that's the first thing. That's my first thought.
Uh-huh.
My second thought is, I've said this to you over the last year or so, is that when everything's going down, but you're still making money, you don't realize that if you only lose one major revenue source, all of a sudden you're losing money. My understanding is DVD sales were majorly down, and that's largely where the revenue source that they lost money from here is. Despite... Other than Sean versus Brett, not much did well. And tell you the truth, you can't count on DVDs anymore. There's no more Blockbuster. There's no more, you know, I mean, people aren't doing DVDs and Blu-rays anymore. Everything's streaming. Everything's Netflix. Everything's,
on demand and everything,
on demand,
right?
You can't, if that was a major revenue source, it's not going to recover. So And that's all it took for them to turn around, because they'd be slowly eroding at their base, and it's been slowly going down that they were only, like I say, one major revenue source lost before they were screwed.
Well, exactly. They weren't, this isn't just, yeah, they don't have money to burn. This isn't, like you said, this isn't time, this isn't like 2000 where they're going to start the XFL.
Yeah.
You know, when they're at a peak, right? Or let's go public and get all this money and do
and
this, right?
This didn't really affect their stock share, though, did it? It's surprisingly, having that losing quarter.
Well,
I think their stock share went down very, very slightly.
You're
looking it up right now, aren't you?
I don't know what it's at right now. I'm just...
It went from like a 9.56 to like a 9.22 or something like that. Like, not a...
Well, and that's... But that's a huge percentage, right?
I suppose.
You know, it's 30 cents on a $9 stock is, you know, I mean, they went down, they're down to $9.15 is what they closed at. On Friday, they were down 25 cents, which is 2.66%.
Yeah.
So, you know, their 52-week high was 14.10, and they went down as much as $8.67 after back in September. So, you know, basically when we look at the, at the week chart here, they started somewhere around $9.80, and now they're sitting at $9.15. So, you know, that's 8% roughly decline. So, yeah, that's big.
That is big.
That's
okay.
big, right?
That's
so
okay.
That takes Vince McMahon from being a millionaire to being less of a millionaire.
Oh, like CM Punk said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why he's not a billionaire? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But they lost $8.6 million.
And they would have made, if not for the startup cost of the network, like $1.6 million. But even then, it's a lot less than they made before, something like that, right?
Yeah, if you take out the network and the movies, they would have made $1.8 million.
Which is almost nothing.
Yeah, which, I mean,
nothing compared
flat,
to what they were making.
Right?
Do you know what they were making about a year ago?
No.
No?
No.
I would guess about $14-15 million.
I mean, you look at for the year previous, it was where is it here? Oh, for the whole year, they were $24.8 million profit for 2011.
Okay.
For all of 2011, that includes that loss. And in 2010, their profit was $53.5 million.
So it's 50% of what it was, and now it's. It's down again. Yeah, I mean, they're...
And they took in more revenue. In 2011, they took in $483 million. And in 2010, they took $477 million. So they took in, I mean, not much more. So you don't say $6 million more. But they lost $30 million.
And I'm sure there's still things they can do to cut down on costs. I'm sure there continues to be. I mean, they're not about to make... They're still... I think they're like 130,000. They're doing worldwide and pay-per-view buys, and it's like they have to drop to like 70,000 worldwide to lose money on pay-per-view.
Well, I'll tell you, though, that...
Something like that, you know.
You know, actual pay-per-views were up quarter over quarter for 2010 versus
fourth
quarter. Is
that because of the Survivor Series?
Yeah, because of the Survivor Series. Yeah. But, okay, pay-per-view numbers were up.
Yeah.
Profits were down because they spent more on promoting The Rock's return than they did the previous year. So The Rock actually hurt business. Not The Rock himself, but the promotion of The Rock hurt business because they spent all this money.
And they needed $500,000 instead of $240,000 or whatever they did.
I don't know the actual numbers, but they spent all this money promoting his back, and then the story of his Twitter followers telling him to team with Cena.
Yeah.
Obviously,
you know what, that's
fly,
true.
Right?
You can spend all the advertising you want, but if you have shitty booking leading
right.
into something,
you're
still going to fuck it up.
Yeah, like, you know, here's a nice piece of shit.
Yeah, horrible. Mm-hmm. So, okay, well, I mean, it's. I don't know if it's going to continue like this. It really does depend on that. I mean, how much more is the startup cost of the network? How long is it going to take? Will it be successful when it launches?
No.
I'd say no as well.
Not after watching episode 4 of Are You Serious?
That bad?
Oh, God, it was awful. They're into the ones that you said that they only had like one or two that they could show.
Yeah,
they're on to the... You know, it's just... The clips are funny themselves. It's basically wrestle crap is what it is, right?
Yeah.
So the clips are funny.
Yeah.
Like this last one, episode 4 here, was Mr. Wonderful and that psychic Gary Spivey from the Psychic Companion Network. I mean, classic shit, right?
Yeah.
But it's Road Dogg and Josh Matthews doing unfunny scripted comedy with a puppet Triple H coming in, trying, you know, and he was a big role. He had a bigger role in this last episode, which is why it was horrible.
Yeah.
More horrible. But it just, you know. I mean, and it's only like
the network
4 minutes long.
But you know what? It's not really about the quality of the programming to a large degree. It's whether or not they get on cable packages that are tiered with other packages, other
that
networks
money,
that
right.
they want to be. Right.
That's right.
That's how we'll know whether or not it'll be successful. From there, it'll be successful whether or not the programming, but they'll have time to get that figured out.
Financially, it could be successful if they get.
But it could not be. They really are. And they had to, like I say, because, I mean, TV, there's no more revenue coming from movies. There's no more revenue coming from DVD sales. People don't buy DVDs anymore.
Well,
to the same degree.
And so they
have to find new revenue streams. So they had to do something. Unfortunately, if you're going to do it, fucking do it well.
If they do, though.
Don't just turn around and go, we got to do this now, and without a plan.
If people do buy DVDs, not of The Chaperone. So, that's...
Yeah.
That's the thing. No, I mean, it's people, you're right, they're not buying DVDs, they're not buying Blu-rays, unless, again, the Brett Shawn.
Not the level they once were.
Well, the Brett
Shawn did well, so did Austin.
Or the Austin, or the Jericho, or you talk
degree.
About, you know, the history of WrestleMania, and so people will buy special DVDs.
Yeah.
People will not buy the events on DVD, people won't buy movies on DVD. Now when you've got, like you said, you've got your Netflix, you've got...
Yeah.
Your Hulus, you've got your on-demand
YouTube.
Your YouTube. And something that, an argument we had to talk about over the last year, an argument that you had that you're quite frankly winning, which is just strange to me.
It's like every argument, actually.
But is unheard of. But I'm waiting for lightning to hit us right now. But I'm watching a lot more online.
Yeah.
This now, today, than I was, you know, even 6 months ago.
And my argument was it wasn't even us. It was the generation below us. The 15 to 20-year-olds were watching more than we were as well.
Well,
online.
I even go all the way to, like, I mean, I know people that are in their mid-20s, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they just television as a medium is not what it once was.
I started to watch a great show, Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it just finished the second season, and I watched probably just the last four episodes on demand on TV or I PVR'd it, and because I had to go back on my laptop and watch, you know, all the other ones to catch up, right?
Yeah, and that's where you did it, right?
And that's how I did it. I could watch it when I wanted, and that was what really when it started with me, is I can watch when I want, what I want, and it's just boom, right? So,
like I say, I mean, the television shows I'm watching, it's like, okay, I'm watching The Daily Show, but I don't watch The Daily Show on television. I go onto the network the next day and watch it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it has changed, and it is changing.
Yeah.
And so even the network startup, I don't really know. I think at the end of the day, WWE needs to make money from two things, pay-per-views and house shows. And the product is not even about the quality of the booking. It's about the presentation of the product being so stale.
Yeah, and I think though, and part of that is your poster boy, is John Cena, and
I think part of that is the 5 minute matches, the 20 minutes worth of backstage, the ha ha, and the same presentation for the last decade, the same look, the same music.
Well, there is
changed,
that. There is
but
that.
The music's changed.
Not
the music
really.
Styles changed.
Yeah,
hasn't changed. You know, I mean, yes, they have a Nickelback now, but I can't tell the difference between this and three songs ago.
Well, and you've got
everything's the same.
The Titantron, the ramp. I mean, Monday Night Raw has looked the same since it was the War Zone.
Yeah,
right?
It's just a very. It's like I say, it's not even the quality of the booking, and it is partially Cena, but yeah, it is. Which is why they wanted him to get the rub here for The Rock, but he won't. He'll just be showing up as not being as big a star. But yeah, it is. It is the way that they. It is the. The segment, last segment, like the thing, it's the things like Santino and Ryder backstage that's not funny.
Yeah.
You know, it's those type of things. It's just, it's
you haven't done anything new for so long. Well, you've given me a new idea, a new presentation.
And that's more what it is, and I don't think you can even, I don't even
like
think
I say,
you
it's
drill,
not the booking so much as the presentation.
I don't even drill down so much, you know, the Santino, Ryder, Haha stuff, because, I mean, even when things were going well, you know, you had Beaver Cleavage.
Yeah.
And you had, you know, like you could go, and you had the Godwins. And
but that's
know,
the thing was, you had that stuff, and what I'm saying is, the presentation then is the same as now.
That's what I mean. So that's why I said, I don't go drill it down so much to that. It, to me, really is about that that presentation, and that
yeah.
something needs to,
Fail.
Something needs to change, and something, it needs to, I mean, it does need to evolve to that, almost to that MMA type style. Where
I think so.
You know, you can have personalities, but you're having a competition, and that
would be fresh now.
That's the shift, exactly. That's the freshness that
the industry needs something fresh, and I think that's a large part.
Because you look at last time, I mean, wrestling was down. The UFC, like when it first took off with the Severns and the Gracies and the Shamrocks, it
yeah.
was this bloody brutal competition.
Yeah.
And ECW come along and presents bloody brutal wrestling.
Yeah.
And the Attitude Era steals that with bloody brutal wrestling and women and all that stuff that they did.
Yeah.
And now you can kind of take that and now the MMA come up and it's on the decline. You know, it peaked about, I don't even know, 2006, let's say, or 2000, no, maybe not 6,
probably
2008,
2009,
yeah.
whenever,
well,
look at whenever that was.
July 11th, it doesn't have the year.
I'm looking
at my poster
UFC
for
100.
UFC 100 here. And
whenever
then,
that was when it peaked.
Let's see if I got a copyright. 2009. So it peaked in 2009.
July 2009.
So that, yeah, that yeah. really is when it peaked. And so now it on the decline. So now it's, you know, wrestling has that opportunity
yeah.
to come back up. It looked like, I mean, with Punk, it was getting to be, we were talking about more of a realistic era.
Yeah.
And with Mark Henry, and they started to go that route, but then all of a sudden, Kevin Nash showed up, and Triple H gets in,
yeah.
and Little Jimmy shows.
But you know what? And that's the other thing is, but even if that is more realistic, if it's the same look and it's the same everything, then it doesn't matter. That it's more,
well,
that
no, but
the book is more realistic.
And
it has to be a shift in everywhere. It has to be a freshness. It needs a fresh coat of paint.
Mm-hmm. It does. It really does. And that, you know, who knows? And
this is why I'm always so pissed at TNA.
Yeah.
Because if they did it and did it well and even went up from a 1.2 mm-hmm. to a 1.6 and their pay-per-view buys went from 8,000 to 50,000,
mm-hmm.
it'd be enough that WWE can go, oh, man, we could do what they're doing way better and actually go up. You
well,
know?
The thing with...
Enough to get somebody's attention. That's what pisses me off instead that they do the exact
well,
same
thing.
Well,
they want to be the follower instead of the leader. And,
yeah,
and
exactly.
the thing when we talked about the network, to go back kind of a little bit to that, is that to me, if they can get that same revenue from the network that they get on pay-per-view buys,
yeah.
then that's where you're going to be, is everything's going to get shifted onto the
yeah.
to the network and not onto pay-per-view outside
again,
of maybe WrestleMania.
When is that network launching?
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, who knows? They're talking fall now.
And this is another thing, actually.
Who
we're
knows?
Talking about this. We're talking about WWE, and they're losing money. Well, I mean, TNA's been losing money a long time.
Yeah, 7,000.
They're not about to have their own fucking network anytime soon. So if television's going away and nobody's buying pay-per-views anymore, what the fuck are they going to do?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they do still have that relationship with Spike that's good for now.
Yeah.
I mean, all it's going to... Spike is... They live and die by Spike. I mean...
Has Spike been an awesome partner to them?
They have, but I mean, all it's going to take is Spike wanting to get away from this network for guys, and you know, I mean, who knows, because they're going to get Bellator,
Let's
and
talk
so that...
But
Fuel TV talking about picking up a new pro wrestling show as well.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. So
oh, okay.
That was,
who would that be?
I didn't say. I think it was in the Observer there.
Wrestling Revolution or whatever it was? Or
it's probably... It didn't say anything. It just said that they were... They're talking about picking up a new pro wrestling show. So
okay, well, TNA, where do you stand on them having their pay-per-views and their shows, live shows? I mean, we talk about the Impact tapings being on the road and it looking better, but it being very expensive, and,
mm-hmm.
and Spike having to cover a lot of that. I'm not liking it because the ratings don't go up.
Right.
And also being in Orlando where the crowd is burned out.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on those two subjects?
Well... Yeah, it
that is something they could do to freshen it up, but can they afford to?
Well, and yeah, exactly. Can they afford to?
And can they afford not to?
And what I'm looking at, well, and that's just it, is what's the, do they have to be live? Can they be taped? That's going to be a less of a cost. But to me, it's how much you could charge the tickets.
Yeah.
To get in, right? And if you can make money that way, I think you start with your pay-per-views.
Yeah.
I think you start with taking your pay-per-views on the road, you know, 12 a year. You know, well, 11 a year. So you can have one in Orlando. Fine.
See, I think it's the opposite. I think you want to have all your TV tapings on the road, and then you could have probably 10 of your 12 pay-per-views in Orlando.
See, I'm of the, I don't know. See, people talk about, are they spoiled, the Orlando
audience. If you're there
audience.
Once a month, then I think you'll, or, you know, 10 pay-per-views a year there, I think they'll be good for that.
Yeah, but what are they there? They're there three times a month, right, now.
Yeah, but you've been there three times a month for how many years?
Well, that's what I mean. So, but to me, I think you start with your pay-per-view, and that's where you get, and
three times a month is still 36 times a year versus, 10 times a year,
well,
right?
Well, that's right, but I mean, they're also saying that this is, it's too expensive.
Let me do that math for you. It's 36, okay?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right? Minus 10, right? Tick, 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 tick. 3 minus 10 is 2, 10, 26.
Yeah.
Mine! Fucking welcome.
Yeah. But I do, but again, if it's too expensive, it's too expensive, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they well, are...
Like I say, is it, where are you going to invest the money in? Are you going to invest it in Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy and RVD and Sting?
Wow.
Are you going to invest it in the television to make it look better? Are you going to go on the road and you say it's too expensive? Well, yeah, it's too expensive because it's not going to put the ratings up once. But, I mean, I tell you what, if you do that for a year straight, perhaps it will.
I don't care about the ratings. Okay, let's start there. When I'm having this conversation...
So this is what I'm saying, though. Spike TV is going, well, the ratings didn't go up. We put all that money in and it looks better.
Well, Spike
the ratings
TV
didn't
is
go
saying
up.
That, absolutely.
And I'm going, well, of course it didn't go up. You did it once. You got to fucking be consistent over a long period of time for people to catch on.
Well, not even. Because to me...
You talk about how long it took for the business to take off from when the product was really good,
mm-hmm.
the WWE in 97.
Right.
It's the same thing with TNA. I mean, if you're going to have a better product and a more professional-looking product, you can't expect to just go on the road and have a great-looking show from England once. You got to do that every single time for a long, long time so people feel like it's a big thing.
I'll give an example, and it's something I was listening to... on The Torch, one of the Wade Keller shows from 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, speaking of TNA, Mike Tenay was his guest.
Oh, yeah.
From the, at the time, the Las Vegas, he had a wrestling radio show out of Las Vegas, and a newsletter as well. But this was in 1992, I guess, because the Money Inc. just beat the Legion of Doom for the tag titles on a Friday at a house show. But
oh, yeah.
One of the things that they talked about was Kay Allen Fry just stepped, you know, just come in for about a month or two with WCW. And his thing when they're talking about what are you going to do with this, what are you going to do with this, and because he has a legal background, they're talking about getting shut out of buildings because WWE used to throw those exclusives on the buildings to keep WCW out.
Yeah.
WWF have the exclusives. And he would say, well, you know, we're going to get some things on that. But he said, you know what? If we give people a product that they want to see more than the WWF, then that's not going to be an issue because they're going to be calling, asking for us. It's not going to be a problem to do it. And that's the way to look at TNA when we're talking about putting the cost in. When their product, we talk about what happened in 1997 with that shift, so the TV was so much better but didn't show for a year, year and a half in terms of, the actual rating switch on the Monday Night Wars. Same thing's going to happen with TNA. When they get to the point where they can put on a program and a product that is good enough to take out on the road that people are going to want, because, I'm not so concerned about the ratings at this point. I'm more concerned about, are people going to pay money? And are people going to pay decent money? Because you can get 5,000 people into, or 10,000 people into an arena paying $10 a pop, but can you get those same people coming in paying $30 a pop?
But here's part of the problem with that is that when we're talking about WWE and we're talking about how you're talking about this, you're talking about what Tenay talked about there, they weren't performing in front of the same audience that had just basically was showing up now with all the energy of a, you know, a 700-year-old dog who hasn't slept for a week. Like part of it is that part of the reason you have to get out now is because that Orlando, like, how can you ever look like you're putting on a good enough product that people are going to be hungry to want to see you when it's in front of people who have no excitement to be there, no matter what you do, because they just are burned out.
Yeah, well, but part of that as well is that these aren't live shows, and part of that falls into to the idiots in the truck, right?
Yeah, but their post-production, the fake sound they do, doesn't look good.
Well, no, that's what I mean. They need to get better at that. I mean, yeah. So we're talking about where you're going to throw money. You know, you maybe throw a little bit of money there. I don't think there's one. Again, there's no one answer for TNA. They've made an improvement, right?
Yeah.
They've fired Russo.
Fire Russo.
So beautiful, right? I mean, like that. That's a start.
Yeah.
Now, though. And even people are saying that, you know, you may not notice a heck of a lot of difference, and you're not going to notice a lot of difference in the overall because of, for the last few months, who's been running, we were talking about before, it's Pritchard and Bischoff are the overseers, so things may make sense from week to week better, or segment to segment better. But we're still going to have Garrett Bischoff.
We're still going to have WWE Lite.
Yeah, exactly, in terms of your overall vision. So, I mean, you could take it out on the road, and you can do all these things, but if, I don't see it. I think that company is just mired in mediocrity and will continue to be.
Well, let's talk about, like I say, we're 1 year ago that we did our first show. And we're an hour and 36 minutes in, and I said to you, I'm not sure we should do a show here. Maybe we should put up one of those best-ofs, because I don't know if we'll have anything to talk about.
Yes, exactly. Mo is skeptical that there were topics. I still have one more on my list,
okay, you
too.
Still have one more, and I still have, but I want to, where would you like to see TNA 1 year from now, realistically? Where would you like to see, or what would you like to see going on?
I would like to see TNA 1 year from now.
Yeah.
I would like to see
the official wrestling calendar, February 26th and 27th of, you know, every year because of us now.
That's right. When the start of the wrestling year, where I would like to see TNA is in personality profiles of guys like Jeff Hardy and Kurt Angle on the WWE Network.
Perfect.
Yes.
Are you going to ask them the question realistically or not?
I think they should sell. No, I really, there's no hope for these guys. Real. I mean, the only thing that could happen, I mean, again, and we talk about, you don't know. Circumstances happen, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But short of them pissing off The Rock and him going to TNA, right?
1 year ago we were talking about them firing Russo, and they've done it finally.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. Like,
but other than that, there's nothing different.
Yeah.
We talk about all the evolution of characters, and the only characters I guess you could say have had any evolution is Rude and Storm.
Oh, but I was going to say Batista, Orton, Flair, and Triple H, right? Evolution?
That's evolution.
Oh, evolution.
Listen to the song.
It's a history.
Yes.
Okay.
But
Rude and Storm.
That's the only thing that's different, that feels different, from a year ago.
Yeah, what are they, Money? No, not Money Incorporated. Beer Money.
Beer Money.
Beer Money have broken up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really is.
Whereas we talked about the interesting story and kind of career trajectory of guys like Sheamus and Ryder and even Cody Rhodes, who we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
And Edge and Christian. And it just feels like...
Mark Henry.
Whereas, and then you talk about, yeah, so this Beer Money was a hot team, and now they're
feuding,
sort
and
of.
And they killed James Storm off.
Yeah, I mean, they're
so.
About to have lockdown together. But other than that, that's what feels different about TNA. Fail.
Yeah. Well, and Chelsea's back.
Fail.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's just it. And I mean, who knows? Again, you don't have Russo, so I said, I think the core...
Yeah, but like you say, it becomes more than just the booking. It's the philosophy and presentation of the company and the presentation. It'd be one thing if a year later the presentation was different, but the booking was the same. But the presentation is the same too. Nothing's changed.
Well, they are now with
them.
They
have more reason to want to change.
The thing is, with them, I think you
theoretically.
you are going to get, well, yeah, exactly, theoretically, and I, you know what, there was, you don't know what's going to happen, so there's never no hope, right? I mean, we talk about Eric Bischoff coming along, sweet-talking Ted Turner and the board of directors,
yep.
Right, changes WCW's fate, right, from having, you know, the Jim Herds and the Bill Watts and the Kay Allen Fries. I mean, you look at Bill Watts. Let's look at that as the best example of a guy that I bet if we were doing this show back whenever he took over. When did he take over? In 1993, let's say?
I think it was 93, yeah.
When he takes over in 1993, we're going, this looks good for because of the UWF and Mid-South and Jim Ross and his...
Rod Simmons in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, his previous, successes,
yeah.
Now he's going to come. So we look at Dave Lagana, and we're going, you know what, this has got to be a good thing. No guarantees here, right?
No guarantees.
And, again, Bill Watts did some things, said some things, right? And part of it political, part of him opening his mouth and just being who he is and not playing that corporate game and being on a grander stage, you know, gets eaten alive by the sharks and is gone. And that very well could happen to someone who tries to rock the boat with a very, very political Pritchard, a very, very political Bischoff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, right now, Spike TV will only talk to Eric Bischoff because they think Dixie's a cunt. Right? I mean, they won't talk to her
because they
think she's an idiot.
That's true.
And
they think they don't respect her at
no.
all.
And
you know what, though? I mean, I have to say this about this. This case, I back up Spike TV.
Well, yes, yes. Well, and I always, this case, I mean, but I think that all it's going to take is someone that's able to, when the time is right, someone that's able to talk to, if there is someone that comes along, you can talk to Janice and Bill.
I guess, you're right. I guess that's the reason why I'm not looking at 1 year from now thinking things will be different, just like 1 year ago they weren't. It's because I look at Pritchard and I look at Bischoff, and I think both those guys are just happy to not rock the boat and keep on just quietly talking in people's ear and collecting a paycheck.
Yeah.
They're just ecstatic.
Well, that's right.
They don't really want to take on the WWE. They just want to get paid.
Yeah, well, and that's exactly. And that's fine for them, right? That's fine for them.
It's just not good for us as fans.
No, you're right. But, I mean, I don't know that if I'm their age and I'm in the position that they're in, that I'm not, you know, taking many chances either at this point. But the thing is that if someone could come along, and that's the part that you don't know, and that's the if. Is it likely? No. But we find that throughout history, at least recent history, or not even recent history, I mean,
yeah.
If you want to take from...
Who the fuck was Russo before he got power?
Well, exactly. The magazine guy, the guy in the thing, and that's what he did. And Bischoff did it before him to Ted Turner.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon did it from his father
before
him, right? And took it and did all that. And so that's when you look at the successful, the Gold Dust trio, if you want to go back to the fucking 50s, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you're going back, and people are doing different things and speaking up and trying to change. And that's where it's going to take someone. And we don't know today who that person is going to be. We've probably never even heard of them.
No, it's funny, though, because it's a landscape where there's so few companies and so few television and so few this and that, where the idea of something changing and evolving and being different,
yeah.
It's probably more difficult than any time in history for it to actually happen, which is why UFC has success.
And Ring of Honor is a bust.
Yeah, unfortunately.
I wish I didn't say that, but
you have to,
it's been, right?
I
have not seen a single episode. Of their program and you know no sense of
buzz, no sense of anything.
And the thing is with me too is that when we got the pay-per-views, over the last year, a couple of them, I hadn't seen any of their shows leading up to it either, but the buzz was there
and the matchups regardless.
And you always know the matchups are going to be good.
You had an idea of the feud of Jericho versus Fiend,
yeah.
Even if you hadn't seen television leading into it.
And Richards, and Edwards,
yeah.
Right? It was, just kind of
yeah.
that sort of
you
thing.
You knew Richard Chase for
Carino,
being champion.
You know, those sort of things. So, yeah, I mean, and then you had some undercard, the tag stuff with, you know, with the All Knights and the World's Greatest and the Briscoes, you know, like just all those things.
If I say to you who's the tag champion right now, do you know?
Is it still the World's Greatest Tag Team? Or is
it's
it the
Briscoes?
Yeah. Well, it's one of those two. But, I mean, I said, and they've got, but, you know, they're talking about their anniversary show is going to be like, what is it? It's like Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly on opposite sides of with Richards. One's with Richards and one's with Edwards. But, I mean, I don't know, and I don't know why. And I mean, they're trainees, and it just seems to me like, yeah, you know.
If, yeah, they just don't have much buzz, and they don't have excitement both in the community or
I wish they did.
I wish so, too.
But
and it's funny because they have more exposure theoretically, and they have Cornette there, but there's not any sense. I don't know if it's that the talent has just they've had a tough time, but then again, it doesn't feel like TNA has more talent, so where the fuck is the talent? So,
Florida, the Big E. He can bench press 575 pounds, don't you know?
I was going to say the Big E is New Orleans.
Push him.
Big Easy?
No, that's Molina.
The Big Easy? Yeah, it really is. Oh, it's Kelly Kelly.
Kelly Kelly, there
you
go.
Little Easy. There you go.
Little Easy.
Yeah.
Little Easy Cool.
all right, well, let's. You have one last
I have one last thing that we should probably talk about, and it kind of flows, kind of puts all this stuff together, because for 1 hour, I want to. It's in March. On the USA Network, Rock versus Cena.
Yeah, what is this? I haven't heard anything about this. What exactly is it?
This is a 1 hour. This is a countdown show.
This well, that's Rock's idea, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a countdown show on the USA Network. Essentially, this is going to be Cena versus Rock, the countdown show, 24/7. Cena Rock, I guess. I don't know what the format's going to be. I mean, I would presume they're going to take a lot of the snippets of the stuff they've already done. Like with the Big E and all that shit and some, you know, exclusive never before seen interviews, but you know, but what do you think about that as a concept?
Okay, let me. It's a great concept.
Yeah,
it's a terrific concept, and if they could do that regularly and they had the right matchup.
Kevin Dunn though, not Bret Hart.
Yeah.
Not sure this is going to be excellently executed.
No, that's what I was about to say actually. But actually, you know what? The video packages and stuff is good. The Rock has some input. I think it'll be good. The 24/7 from HBO and such is there, and the UFC countdown. So they have the template. The videos have been good.
Well, that's what these seems. These little snippets of these little couple minute interviews.
And you know what? If they're smart, frankly, they put 5-10 minutes of that show focus on like Triple H versus Undertaker.
So they won't. Is what you're saying?
No, they won't.
No,
but
you're right. They could do like just the
yeah.
same way they do on a
UFC
countdown,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
They do the 40 minutes on the main, and or you know, or 3/4 on the main, and then a quarter on the co-main.
The co-main or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, you look. You say it's an hour long. So I'm going to say what 2.0 to 2.2 rating, barely, something in that range. Probably about
1.7 is what I was thinking, but
I figured
depends on when it airs.
It depends on when it airs. Probably about what Tough Enough was doing, I figure, which is what like a 2.0.
Is that what they're getting? They were 1.7,
yeah.
But okay. But the Tough Enough was also a lead-in, was it not, to Raw?
I think yeah, it was a lead-in because the one time they did it as a post, it was successful. So then they made it a lead-in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But the question is, okay, so it's not going to do a massive rating. The question is, how many pay-per-views does it sell?
Well, that's the thing, because, I mean, you countdown
these
specials,
are, these
right?
These are showing to me. I mean, countdown specials, are, if they're really good, can be seen by 1.5 million and sell 800,000 bucks.
Well, that's just it, right? So, I mean, that would be... And depending, I have a good feeling. I mean, they said, can they fuck it up? Yes.
Sure.
Will
they
fuck
Brett,
it up?
They fucked up Brett and Vince.
Well, the bookers did, though.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. If they did a Brett Vince special, I mean...
If they had done this, if they had edited Wrestling with Shadows down to 1 hour, that's all they would have had to do.
Well, I was of the opinion they should have bought Wrestling with Shadows and just played that.
Oh, fuck yes, they should
have. Go home on USA, right?
Fucking
promoted
right.
the fuck of that. But
1.4 million buys.
Yeah. I would have thought, though, that... The same people, okay, that fucked up Bret Hart and Shawn, not the same people, the same company that fucked up Bret Hart and Vince, right, produced that Blu-ray of Bret and Shawn.
Yeah.
So, and this Cena Rock, like when they have the interview.
They have Triple H and like I say, same company, Triple H and Undertaker going at the same time as Kane and Cena.
Yeah, so,
you know,
that's right. But I think that sitting with the way that the packages have been with him tweeting, with The Rock tweeting and being in the limo and going back to his alma mater and things like that, all you have to do is throw in a little bit of workout package with The Rock there.
Yep.
Boom. You got Cena basically doing the workout package and going on with Jimmy Kimmel's and all that.
Yep.
I mean, you've got footage there that you could throw that all together, add a little bit more with these interviews, talking about why they don't like each other, blah, 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 and you could do it. I don't even think you need to have, I mean, maybe you have.
So how many buys, extra buys, does it sell?
Well, I don't know. We don't know until we see it. Like, we don't know what the rating is. We don't know until we see it. But the idea gives me hope that it's, we're talking about a million buys. If they can use this thing effectively, it's going to air twice. It's going to air its original airing. It's going to air the night before WrestleMania as well.
And the Hall of Fame now is going to air, was that right?
Hour before Mania, I think. Or before Raw. I think it's going to be the same as it was last year. It's like a 3-hour block kind of thing.
All right, well, you know what?
I assume it's
going to
be Ron Simmons and Mike Tyson that they do, right? On the special?
Actually, to tell you the truth, it's going to be tough to fit in. They have a pretty big Hall of Fame.
I would love for Bradshaw just to cut Simmons down and, like, just because you know he's going to rib him and rib him and rib him.
Oh, I hope he comes out there, talks for 45 minutes, then The Rock comes out and inducts somebody and tells him to go home.
No, I hope that Layfield comes out and does his, like, 5-minute just laying into him. And
was it
Ron
Layfield
Simmons
came out and said, told Rock to go home when he was talking about
that? Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So who was he inducting that year or whatever? What
the Briscoes.
Was he? Oh, okay.
Yeah. But he, Ron Simmons just walks up with his plaque, looks around, goes, damn, and walks away.
That, if they do that, that'll get a huge pop.
Oh, that would just be tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, no, I think that, I don't know.
If it's successful, are they going to try and do more?
Of these specials?
Yeah.
Well,
can you only do them at SummerSlam, Mania, Royal Rumble? Can you do them at, can you do that for an Over the Limit?
No.
You can't.
Because you can't do it for a match that is 8 days
now,
build.
I'm going to talk about two other things here. In some degree, isn't this what TNA was kind of doing with their post-show that they were doing for a while?
Yeah, with that reaction or whatever it was called.
Didn't they have some sort of this UFC-style countdown stuff?
Well,
or like, didn't they have like that with Matt Morgan versus Kurt Angle and shit like that?
Yeah, they had some, they did have moments. You know what? It was more, reaction was kind of a new version, an updated version of Confidential.
Oh, okay.
Okay, without the sitting at the desk kind of piece there, but it would be like a half hour show, but it would have like 5 segments perhaps, right? Like they would go back and Jesse Neal would talk about food stamps. No, he would talk about being at the on the ship that got bombed,
okay.
The Cole, USS Cole or whatever it was.
But they did have some of that other stuff though. They did have like Morgan and
personality
and
profiles,
okay.
More post interviews and stuff, but again, so
the other thing about this is, if this is effective, and this is a more realistic UFC countdown style thing, will that make them force them to go, hey, fuck, this is what people want now, let's drop the style of wrestling we're doing and go more to this as our core product? Is there any chance of that?
Well, there's always a chance. There's always a chance. Again, I think there's, until, I mean, you got to look at it from a dollars and cents perspective, and part of it is, you know, the fact that they're losing money, is they've lost money in the quarter. They made money in overall year, but they lost money in the quarter, and part of the reason that they lost money in the quarter is because their core business, right, isn't making money. Their core business is basically breaking even.
Yeah,
right?
And it's consistently going down just a little bit at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's
on a downward trend.
The ratings this year are lower than they were 1 year ago at this time.
Pay-per-view
buys are lower than they were 1 year ago at this time.
The pay-per-view buys being lower, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the ratings, no. Doesn't matter at this point. It will, but
it will.
Today.
I'm just saying it's a sign that the company's on it.
Oh, it does, yeah.
It's,
but financially
slowly,
it makes no impact yet.
Yeah, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there.
Yeah.
Right.
And it is. It's a gradual kind of withering of things.
Yeah.
And until you can bring that back up, you know, so maybe you look at this if it's successful.
Yeah.
But the part here is that, and what Vince McMahon has his, history of doing is learning the wrong lesson from something that worked.
That's
right?
True.
Something he didn't create that he's taken, like a concept like this, he learns the wrong thing. Because then that's exactly what he does, is he goes, well, let's do this again, pal, for Over the Limit. Not realizing that Over the Limit was main event was booked 6 days before the special airs.
Yeah.
This match is a year in the making.
Yeah.
It's more than a year in the making.
More than a year, really.
Because they built, you know, it's a year from now, really,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When that happens, then yes, you've got this epic special. If again you do another, like you said, let's say you do what I'd suggested, and the day after Mania, Undertaker comes to the ring, Brock Lesnar lays him out,
yeah.
And walks away,
yeah.
And they spend the whole year building the Brock Lesnar Undertaker for next year's WrestleMania. Next year,
yeah.
You do the special for them,
yeah.
Right, and so it's. But it has to be
or
that.
Or if you have Punk Austin long enough, you don't build, right?
Anything long enough,
yeah.
you can do this. I mean, you don't even need a year. I mean, if you set something up now for SummerSlam,
sure.
Then yes, by all means. And this is where we talk about will this be successful?
But it has
won't
to be the right thing.
Successful?
I mean, if you did this type of special for Donald Trump's hair versus Vince McMahon's hair, it wouldn't meant a fucking thing, right? It has to be the right match.
Well,
even if it's a match people are interested in, it has to be the right match for this type of presentation.
Yeah, Brett and Vince would have worked.
Yeah.
Right? And there has to be enough history there
yeah.
to do it. But when I look at if they can get the network off the ground and they go down to 3 or 4 pay-per-views,
yeah.
Right? Then you can be doing those specials for the pay-per-views, right?
Absolutely.
And hell, you can air them... You know, you can air it fucking every day on your goddamn network if you want to, kind of like what Spike would do with those countdowns. They wouldn't air
yeah.
it every day, but there'd be five or six airings on
yeah.
the peak, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the way that I go with it is, a lot of it seems passé
yeah.
now, right? It's the new thing, but it's kind of like the network, you know? You're late to the dance.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're still gonna hear a few songs, but,
yeah.
you know, but you're late.
But you're late to the dance.
But, you know, you missed when the band was really rocking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not a bad thing for now, but it's getting replaced. And these countdown shows, eventually something new will come, right?
Yeah.
Something different. And so, if they can find that something different... I don't know that they have anybody there that can do that. You know, that's the thing.
It's funny, because that would be one thing that you would think, having to fill all the content that they would have to fill, and I know you hate that word, but you have to fill all the programming that you have to fill for the network. Maybe you'd have to create something new and so they'd look into something.
Infomercials. DDP Yoga.
There you go. I mean, maybe they would look into something because they have to fill, you know, much more programming, and who knows that way. Okay, like I say, I have one last subject I want
yeah.
to talk about. Well, like I say, I want to talk about a little bit like 1 year from now. I mean, it's tough to talk about who we're going to see, but what matches would you like to see at next year's Mania, just off the top of your head? Like, I can give you some matches I'd like to see.
Well,
I'd
see Punk Austin.
Okay.
I'd like to see Lesnar Taker.
Okay.
Right? I'd like to see, you know, now that you've said it, it makes the most sense to me is Rock and Orton.
Yeah.
You know, I would have said probably, I don't know what I would have said with Rock.
You know what I'd like to see a year from now?
Hmm.
Miz versus Jericho.
Okay.
Yeah. And then this is what I want to talk about. We talked about...
You know
about
what I'd
now,
like to see a year from now?
What's that?
My boy, D. Bryan,
yeah.
gets Hunter.
That'd be interesting. Actually, that would be very interesting.
Yeah.
That'd be very interesting. I would like to. I was going to say Ray. That's who I'd like to see him again in a year. But that's great too. I like that Hunter idea.
I'd like to see Ray go into the Hall of Fame.
A year from now?
2 years from now at WrestleMania 30 from Mexico City.
Not bad.
In front of 100,000 people.
Yeah, and maybe have
right?
a final match against Sin Cara that night too.
Who?
Sin Cara.
Oh right, yes.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Mexican
and
Lex Luger.
He could be a big star.
Mex Luger. I'm calling Sin Cara
Mex
Luger
from now
on. Yes.
Nice, I like it. Well, again, so Mex Luger, who knows how big a star. Mex Luger is still 1 year from now. He's in one of those X Factors talking
yes.
about. Yeah.
Yes.
I'd like, so let's talk about, though. I mean, we have more heels than baby faces.
Right.
I'd like to see three current heels turn and one current baby face turn. The guy who turned baby face to heel over this next course of this next year would be Kofi Kingston.
Okay.
The guys I would turn baby face would say Ziggler.
Yeah.
Miz.
Okay.
And Del Rio. Those are three guys I'd like to see turn. And I think that would help the rosters and create some fresh matchups.
Yeah.
That way you could get Ziggler versus
Swagger.
Swagger, that'd be one. Ziggler versus Christian would be another one, right?
Yeah.
You know, Kofi Kingston versus Punk.
Ziggler.
She could do that, but...
Ziggler versus Jericho.
Ziggler versus Jericho.
That's actually who I'd like to see at Mania, would be a face Ziggler against Jericho instead of Miz. I just am not...
Yeah. Miz versus, Miz... I don't know, Miz versus Christian then.
You know what I'd like to see Miz do next year at WrestleMania? They always have this battle royal on the pre-show.
Yeah.
Yeah, there. I don't know.
I would think of him as... And I'd like to see how he'd do as a babyface. Maybe then he can get back to an upper mid-carder. Maybe. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. But those are the same thing. Del Rio... versus, you know, whatever. You have more fresh matchups to me.
I am glad that R-Truth turned face with the little Jimmy thing because he's got that comedy spot. In terms of...
He needs to still come to the ring talking to himself instead of slapping hands.
Yeah,
he still needs to keep that I'm crazy thing going.
Yeah, I know.
Because that was what was getting him over and was funny.
Yeah, well, because...
So instead of coming to the ring and not really doing anything, no, he needs to talk to himself and act crazy.
I'm just trying to think
Wild eyes.
Yeah. Heel babyface over the next year.
Yeah, who would you like to see turn? Those are the three guys I'd like to see turn.
I think
I'd like to see Kofi because I'd like to see more aggression and he needs to be freshened up.
I'd
like to see Del Rio because I think he'd make a good babyface because he has Rodrigo there, who I think would be good as a babyface. I think they'd be a fun duo.
Ricardo,
what'd I say?
Rodrigo.
Oh, my mistake, Ricardo.
He's in a Nogueira.
I'd like to see Dolph because I think his working style is very, very good for a babyface.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Miz because I'd like to see if he could regain some momentum as a babyface.
I'm just looking at... Orton.
And because they need to turn more heels than, you know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, like, to me, you could have Orton go heel. But I don't see how that creates very much in the way of fresh matches.
I mean, how about a babyface Dolph Ziggler versus a heel Cody Rhodes next year? Like, there's a lot of really fresh matchups if we do this.
Dolph is one, for sure. I think that, there's not...
Kofi versus Ray would be another one.
Kofi's a good one to turn heel as well. Yeah, I think it's time.
It's time.
For Kofi to be a heel this starting this summer. In terms of somebody to turn, Mark Henry, I guess.
I don't like Mark Henry turning because he's finally found his character. A heel that got over.
I don't change the
character. I put him over on Raw and give him a new push as the killer heel because they don't need another guy on SmackDown who looks like that.
The thing is, with Mark Henry, with his character, all it's going to take is him beating up Miz instead of beating up Cena with the same character. But
I'm not sure it takes off. I'm not sure it did take off as a heel. I'm not sure it does as a babyface.
Well, I don't know, but I think he started to get a little bit of cheers, I think that's what they were trying to do though, is make him this sympathetic. We're trying to get baby faces, aren't we?
Yeah.
And I can't think of anybody like Ziggler, but I mean I don't care about Miz.
Fine. Yeah, but to say
turn Miz baby face
That's why I would turn him. I don't care about Kofi, and that's why I turn him. I don't care about Miz, and that's why I turn them, because I try and do something fresh with the character. Because if they stay what they are now, I'm not going to care about them a year from now either.
Well, that's true.
And it might work.
I mean, give it a go, sure, what the hell. Jack Swagger, is a guy that...
I just don't turn Swagger if I turn Ziggler. That's the reason why I didn't throw him in there. That's why I went with Del Rio, basically.
See, I don't like Del Rio yet.
No?
I think Del Rio, to me, has that smugness and arrogance about him that... You know, you can keep as a heel. I'm not a big Del Rio fan to begin with, but But I do think he's better suited right now for a heel. And because there's other people ahead of him in line, I guess. Like a Swagger.
Well, I mean, there's other people ahead of him in line for me, too. Like, Christian, I'd rather have as a babyface. I'd rather have Jericho as a babyface. But for me, it's not the right time. Because how recently it turned, or the fact that Jericho's come back as a heel.
Yeah.
It's not the right time to turn. Like,
Jericho after WrestleMania next year.
But like you said, I didn't see Punk as a babyface a year from now. Or Daniel Bryan as a heel, right? So, I mean,
I like Christian as a heel.
Yeah.
I just think Christian's got that good... He's good as a heel.
Yeah, he's good as a heel.
You know who I'd like to see as a heel? Is John Cena.
Back an argument from a year ago.
But I mean...
That was one thing a year ago. I was adamant they should be turning him. And you were saying, no, they shouldn't because...
Not yet. I was just saying they shouldn't yet.
Yeah. You're like. Actually, I think it was more like I was adamant they should, and you were adamant that they won't. And I was like, well, I'm not arguing if they will or won't. I'm saying they should, and you're going, I'm not arguing if they should. I'm saying they won't. So why the fuck talk about it?
Yeah, that's exactly. But I think they're getting closer to Cena again. Now with the if you can get CM Punk. Going, right? And that was the whole reason that they shouldn't take Cena heel is because you didn't have an heir apparent in terms of merchandise and all this stuff. And there's a hell of a lot of CM Punk shirts in the crowd.
But they're not being sold to kids yet.
No, and...
That's why Sin Cara is an X factor. If he comes back and really takes off to the kids,
yeah,
that gives you something, right?
That does, yeah. I mean, it's... If people can, whatever it was, remember $80 a mask or whatever the fuck that was? That was unbelievable.
I was like, holy shit. You can buy one of those from Honky Talk, man, for $15.
That's right. Only if you make some noise. fuck. But, no, I think that's...
Hey, we're trying to get up an interview with Honky Talk, man, for this year.
Nice.
A real interview. Real interview, hopefully, with Honky Talk, Jake the Snake, that's the hope. A couple people.
Jake will know a show.
Yeah, probably.
Yes. You know who would be a good person to interview? Buddy Day.
You'll have to listen to the best of show.
Did you do that?
Oh,
fucking
my right
God,
back in
that
there.
Was good.
like the best. That's like my favorite segment of last year.
All right. Well, we've gone over 2 hours here, so I think sort of exhausted most of the topics. We think Rock's back tomorrow, so we'll have plenty to talk about next week, I'm sure, coming out of that. So TNA tapes as well on Monday and Tuesday here.
We'll have lots to talk about with The Rock.
So we'll have lots, to talk about with The Rock, and I'll be able to at least hit that, a general idea because TNA, the only pay-per-view in March.
True, and you know what else? It's post-Russo's really, I guess, going to start now.
Well, that's why I thought we might have something to talk about, is just to kind of see, what... No, you can't analyze immediate change, obviously, but just to see if after he's gone, if there's a big feel to it, a difference to it. I mean, and there already has been a difference with this, since Pritchard to come in, really, there has been a difference. Is it perfect? No. Is it great? No. Is it better? Yes.
It's better, yeah.
Yeah. So... We'll see. But I think that may even be the difference between, say, a K. Allen Fry, as I said, and Bill Watts, right?
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But, no, I think that's it. We had some great people send us questions via Twitter here. So it's We Talk Wrestling.
Well, send us questions for Twitter. Send us, email.
Email is addy at wetalkwrestling.com or mo at wetalkpodcast.com.
That's ADDIE. It's not ADDY in case people are emailing the wrong address.
Oh, yeah, it's just going to bounce right the fuck back to you.
Yeah.
We're wetalkwrestling.podomatic.com. Just type in We Talk Wrestling into iTunes as well, and you can subscribe through there. So
I'm mo _ we talk on Twitter, and that's M-O, no E on my name, just in case also doesn't bounce back.
Moesha.
Like I say, it's 1 year ago we launched. Now I'm doing like 4 other podcasts. I never thought I'd be doing one. So just thanks to everybody. We took a little hiatus. We come back more popular than ever again. Thanks to everybody. Really appreciate all the listeners, OUT.
Yeah. So that is it. So in the
meantime, We Talk Podcast. Go there too.
Yeah, that could be good. In the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.